you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. That's it. It's our show. We're on the air. Shh. You know, if you whisper, it always sounds important, like, our show's on the air. Don't tell nobody. That's it. Shh. 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 Our show today, we got special guests. We're going to have nothing but mimes on the show. Yeah, mimes are good for the radio. Let's take a look at our mimes. Ready? Here they are. Thank you, mimes. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the show. I'm Brian. And we have a good show today. Anything goes Friday. Anything goes. I mean anything. You have a mouth. That means things are happening with your mouth. Okie dokie. So if you'd like to come into the studio and use your mouth, you can. The number to reach me, or reach us, reach the show, is 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. That's the number that gets you in the studio. That's the number that you can hear us live, and that's the number to get your voice globally. We want to send a shout-out to one of our favorite listeners, Shirley out there. Shirley out there. Shirley's in Alabama. She's a Bama babe. That's right. Mm-mm-mm. Shirley. Good morning. Good morning, Shirley. Good morning. All right. I'm going to open up the phones. Like I said, you know, this is the first time I did the show for over 15 years. And once in a while, just like any car, you run it for 15 years, you kick my tires, you change my fuel. Sometimes I got gas. Give me gas to go. That don't sound good, but, you know, car metaphor. Then once in a while, a spark plug, you put in my engine and it pops and it makes the car run, vroom, vroom, vroom. Robin is that spark plug. You know, I was doing a show, I was doing okay, but then Robin came in and vroom, 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 vroom. So I have never done this before. Never in 15 years, I have never done this before. This is the first time I did it. And I'm going to show you what I did. Title of the show, Brian and Robin in the Morning. How's that? I have had co-hosts for years and executive producers and so on and so forth, but they never shared the same title with me on the line. You know that? And because Robin works so hard. And if you don't know Robin, you know Robin. Everybody knows Robin. You go down the store, hey, there's Robin. And all of a sudden, stuff goes on sale. Yeah, that's the magic of Robin. So that's the title of the show today, Brian and Robin in the Morning. Look at that. Wow. The Hammer and the Rose. How's that? Look at that. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. If that doesn't moist your panties, I don't know what will. That's right. You're live on the radio. And let's let everybody in. And good morning. Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Good morning, sweetheart. Good morning, kids.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the lovely compliment.
Well, you deserve it. I mean, thank you. You work so hard. You work so hard. You work so hard. And things are going to pay off today. I promise you. I'm back. I'm back from location. I'm back from Laughlin, Nevada. Yay. What a wonderful thing. A lot of stuff happened when I was away. Not here, but in a hotel room.
Uh-oh.
You know what? Yeah, what happens in Nevada stays in Nevada. Let's recap. So me and
okay,
someone.
Okay, so
I
that
will,
means you were in the right hotel room then.
I found my way. I know for about 2 days. Well, it goes, what could happen? I don't know. Brian checks in. Brian checks out. It's going to happen. Not true. So what I tried to do is Robin helped me. Robin goes, you know, we got to get this show on because the Hope Fest is there and we have so many great guests. And I said, Robin, I don't have my computer. Robin goes, I don't give a fuck. I go, wow, Robin, naughty. And so what I did was I wanted Robin to give a fuck. So I worked hard, and I put it on my phone and everything, and all of a sudden we go, oh, we got a fuck. And so we're going to go up on the air. I didn't know how it was going to work. We're flying by the seat of our pants, and I did half the show with no pants on. How's that? What's in Nevada stays in Nevada. And so it was like two days. What can happen in 2 days? A lot can happen. I'll tell you. I'll just give you a highlight. There's been theft. There's been winning. And there's been losing. And there's been break-ins in hotel rooms and knocking on the door and calling yourself housekeeping. Uh-oh. A lot has happened. And some of you guys experienced that on the air. True story. True story. All that happened. And one time I was doing a show, which you guys didn't know, so I was doing a show in my nice underwear, beautiful underwear, very nice underwear, black underwear, fits the body nicely. My ass was bumping. I mean, I could put my ass in a marquee, and it filled the stadium. Nice ass. And don't forget the front. Oh, my God, the front is just, the French would say, oui, oui, oh, that's a beautiful front. Oh, I love the cheese and I love the front. Voila. Oh, Brian, you've done it again. Yeah. So I'm doing a show. I'm pretending because I am a professional. Don't try this at home unless you have training. So I am a professional. So I'm in there. I'm talking. My girlfriend's across from me, ignoring me like she always does. It's okay. That's how it works. So she has her headphones in. I'm talking to Robin. I'm talking to Robin, and I'm talking to Pete Key. And I'm talking. Matt's in the studio. And I got 8 other people in the studio. And we're talking. And you guys think, well, they're talking. Well, you did not know behind the scenes, Brian got underwear on. Nice underwear. Nice underwear.
Eight other people.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Some people say it looked like Adonis. I don't know who he is, but okay. So anyway, I'm in my
underwear. Adonis.
Adonis, I guess that's my name.
Well,
right.
If you guys what I had on right now, you would laugh hysterically. I've got on
what
this like giant nylon dress. That's like it
wow.
looks like a big old sack on me.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, there you no, I don't think it's nylon. I think it's polyester.
Wow.
But
you know,
it's
that
like
works.
Almost down to my ankles, and it looks like a big moo-moo without the fluffy.
Oh, Jesus
flicky.
Christ. Oh, my God. Well, that moo-moo is moo-moo. It's still sexy. You just brought in the sailors.
It is comfortable. Ryan looks at me every time I wear it. He's like, don't wear that. He's like, that is so not sexy. He's like, that is so not sexy. He's like, that's
like
that hideous outcoat I wear, that big gray outcoat.
Oh, you got to take a selfie. You got to take a selfie. I'm going to put it on the marquee. Oh, my
God. Oh, no, 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 no. I look horrible right now. I do. In fact, I have to do it later. I've got to get a shower and wash my hair because it is a mess. I'm a mess.
You know, you know what I did, Robin, is that I, on the marquee, you and I are on there. I'm going to put it in I'm going to put it in your Facebook box so you can look at, you hit that link, you can see the marquee, and you and I are on there together. And put Pat there. I put Pat there, but she disappeared. I go, let me put Pat there. How come her face just, Pat? You know, Pat, just Pat. Pat spiritual. I'm just here in spirit, Brian. But I can still smell the, I can smell the weed.
Well,
Pat. You know, I know. It's like if Pat was a ghost, it's like you're not fooling nobody. I'm getting high. Pat must be in, her spirit must be in the room. I can smell the weed. So
at least I look like her more than I do me.
Pat's a good-looking woman. That John, that John sits there with a boner every time Pat's on the air, just looking at her, going, my, she's mine. Look at that. Look at that.
Dream on.
John's chopping wood. Get on that phone, baby, eh? Look at that. Look at that. As you can tell, title of the show, Brian and Robin in the morning, the hammer and the rose. How's that?
Tough. Yeah, I like that.
Yes. Anything goes Friday, anything, sex, politics, movie, music, and magic. Let's hammer this out. There we go.
Did you hear him? It's big news that stupid Mike Johnson allowed the vote on Ukraine, or
did he really? Wow.
Yes.
That's going to end his job.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is having a fit.
Oh, yeah. That bitch, man. That bitch kept thinking that... She is crazy. Well, you guys remember how she started. You guys remember the shooting at the school. And she claimed that all those babies, all those kids died, and she claimed they were actors, and they're just putting it on. She's really a nut job. And she's the one who says that the Jewish people have lasers they can shoot in the sky. They got Jewish lasers that can defend themselves.
The Ukrainians are Nazis, but he's Jewish.
Is he like a politician or something?
Yeah,
he's
the Speaker of the House. Yeah, he's the third most powerful man in the world. He's the Speaker. But, you know, and then Trump calls him to Mar-a-Lago to do a kiss the ring, and because Marjorie Greene wants him out. And Trump says, you know what, I want him in, and it's a big controversy. Here it is right here. But here's what I mean. If you'd like to come in.
Politics have turned into, it's turned into a three-ring circus.
I know. Oh, before we start the show, I just want to say that lovely angel is still here, and our ebony princess, our ebony queen, Laverne, is listening to the show.
Oh,
she has been here.
Hello,
last week. I know our celebrity, Laverne, when she's her spirit's in the studio. I know it's in the studio because it's very calm. Sometimes I have a little Laverne on my shoulder, and when I get out of context or I go off the rails, the little Laverne will sit there on her shoulder and she would kick me and said, stay on focus, Brian, stay on focus, and God bless your heart. God bless you. That's my little Laverne. Sometimes she gets a little mad at me and she kind of tweaks my ear and runs away, and I know I'm going a little bit too far one way. But Laverne, morning crew, she is listening.
Someone
Laverne
actually
Laverne.
Gets through to you, eh?
She, yes. Well, she does. She gets a little frustrated. She's my guardian angel. She gets a little frustrated, and she goes, I'm out of here, and leaves me unprotected sometimes, and I fall down. But that's very rare, but she usually protects me. You know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about anything, and I'm going to do something that I haven't done before in this show for a long time. If you look at the title, Brian and Robin in the Morning, normally I have a subject. Normally I have something that will tweak you. Normally I have a subject that will piss people off. Something. But this time, Robin has done so good. All I need is Brian and Robin, and also Pat in the morning, and Laverne in the morning, and other people in the morning. But what we're going to do is we're going to go down the line from Pat, Robin, and me, and we're going to talk about our favorite subjects. I mean, whatever subject Pat goes, you know what, I like to talk about blah, blah, and we'll play blah, blah. And I go to Robin, and Robin goes, I like to talk about blah, blah. okay. I go, Pat, and they go, Brian, what do you want to talk about? Sex. Okay. So that's my subject. That'll be my subject.
Yep.
But you guys may have other subjects, and anybody who comes into the studio, you may have a subject that you want to talk about, or you may have got mad at something I said. Of course you did, and you want to call me out on it. Anything you want to do. You want to get part of our lottery? I'll check the lottery, see where we are. It's Friday. Let's see where we are there. Because I know we miss playing. Do you guys miss playing the lottery? We haven't done it in a week.
Yeah.
I mean,
Okay.
Well, here we go. 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's how we roll. That's how we roll.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number to get you in the studio. I want to give a shout-out to Rudy Dixon, his ex-wife or lady. Used to be our executive producer for the show for 6-7 years. You know, here's how it is. If you're, you know, Brian's show is so good. It's like a stepping stone to future stuff endeavors. So if you appear on this show, good things can happen. Like my executive producer, Ellen, well, she left the show, and now she's in a little corner in Walmart with the plants. That's what happened. Where are you at? I'm in the plants.
Brian,
I'm in the plant department. You know what we should do? We should call Walmart and see if they can get us to the plant department. We should do that.
No.
Let's do it. It's Friday. Let's order some plants.
You and me, I'm up for it.
I'm up for it, too.
I'm up for it.
I'm up for it. Let's see if they can. Let's see what time it's 8, 9, 10. She might be. Okay, what we're going to do, she's not talking to me, of course. She goes, I'm not talking to you. I go, okay. So we're going to try to call her at work and order some plants. Let's see if we can order some Kush and some tumbleweed. And let's see what she'll do. Let's see if they connect. Yeah, ooh, some hibiscus. Yeah. Scrambled egg and hibiscus.
Brian.
Yeah.
Blue hibiscus.
Grits
she's,
and hibiscus.
She's going to know your voice.
I know, and that's what's going to be funny. It's like, you're fucking kidding me, right? Hello. She likes that voice. Okay, let me see if we can do it, because this Friday, that means we're running with scissors today. We're going to do everything today, and we're going to make a quick call to Walmart. Then we're going to go on a break, and then we're going to come back, you know, play some music. Then we're going to come back, I only have Pat for a short period of time. Pat's going to tell me what she wants to talk about, and we're going to talk about it. I'm going to go down with Robin, and we'll talk about sex. All right, so let's see if this works. Walmart. I'm not going to tell you where it is, because I don't want people calling, you know.
I don't want you.
Exactly.
What if she's not working this morning?
Oh, then at least we know we can get. She may not be. She may not. I know she's working today, but I don't know when. But she may not be. But if they connect us, we know that we can be connected by the end of the show. We will call her.
Oh yeah.
She'll be so happy.
Really.
Yeah, I don't know which store it is. Let me see how many stores is in that area. Oh, there's only one. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
She must live in a little bitty dinky place because we've got at least two. Three,
do you?
If you count the one across the river. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And four if you count just the Walmart, grocery market thing.
Really?
Oh yes, hey, there's a Walmart not even 2 miles from my house.
Oh.
And I absolutely despise going in there. I hate it more than anything.
There's some weird ass people in that store, man. I don't think they're from this planet.
And they all I have nothing better to do than to go walk around Walmart.
I know. I don't know. She's not in. Let me see here. She's not in New Orleans. This one's in New Orleans. She's not in New Orleans. She's in. I'm going to look. I'm going to call Rudy. I'll call Rudy live. Rudy is her. husband, or they're separated, but he still loves her. So I'm going to still say he's together, husband. Rudy doesn't know I'm going to call him.
Now, Rudy
works for a radio show, so he knows what's going on. So he knows what's going on. He's going to say, Brian. Let's see if he helped me. You know, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I'm doing that. So you're going to say, Brian, why are you being an asshole? I'm going to tell you why. A lot of things happen with Robin. Here I am eating my noodles and soup, slurping it up. Love the sound. Noodles. And then I get a text from Robin. Robin has a friend named Shirley, so she wanted to play a practical joke. So we played a practical joke on her. It was really funny. I never heard Robin laugh.
And Shirley loved it.
So loud.
I took a picture of my pants after I'd been rolling on the floor.
That's funny.
They stuck to my yoga pants.
I wish I would have done it live. It was even my girlfriend was just laughing at it. She rolled it for it. Was one of the best practical jokes we did, pranks
it
we did.
It was funny.
So I'm going to see.
And Shirley got you, too.
Yeah.
She sure did. It's like, not
she
even does
she
get cussed by a grandmother.
It was great. It was really great. She pulled it off. It was great. She even fooled me. It's like, Robin. And I liked it. Okay, so now, I'm going to do this with Rudy. Let me see if I have him here. I should have him here. And maybe I'll give him a call first to see if he, because I don't want to hurt anybody and make him lose their job or anything. Okay, I got Rudy. But Rudy doesn't know I'm going to call him live on the air. He has no idea. Okay, let me see. We used to make live calls all the time. And we used to do pranks, but we don't usually do them anymore. Okay, here's this number. And let me see. Okay. I don't know if I have to put a 1 in this. It's been so long. Do I put a 1? No, I shouldn't put a 1. Let's see. Here we go, people. Here we go. Rudy usually answers the phone unless he's working. He's probably working.
If you want me to, if he answers, I can speak. He won't recognize my voice.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging
system.
We'll
do that. Wait a minute. We'll do that. We'll play a prank call. Hey, Robin, we'll play a prank call. Rudy on his side drives for Uber, right? So later on in the show, he'll pick up because he wanted to come on. You'll be one of the people. That
oh, yes, and I'll
wrote,
say, you, don't you remember from last night?
Yes, he picked you up, and he picked you up. Yeah, he picked you up in Uber, right? And and tease him and say, you remember me. You were the guy who got in the back seat. Yeah, let's do that. We'll let him settle down, and we're going to call him probably in a half an hour, and Robin's going to play a live prank. I love it, a live prank on our Rudy.
I tell you, I love doing stuff like this. It's all in
good fun. Do you really?
Are you kidding?
It is.
Shirley is so used to me doing that. It is. I mean, she knows me too well. I've got her to, like, you know, we got Donna, too, that night. We got her good.
Did you do it? What did you do to Donna?
She's going crazy.
Wow. Well, we're going to have some fun with that. Robin, so stay tuned. That's worth the show. Robin's going to play a prank on it. And Rudy has been with the show for a long period of time. His wife, again, used to be my co-host and executive producer. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be real fun. Hey, you know what? Maybe I think she's home. let's call Ellen at home. And Robin, you be the voice, okay? I think she's home. Let's call her, prank her. Just say, is Rudy there? He came to pick me up on Uber, and he gave me his card. And you know what I mean? We're supposed to have supper tonight, and he told me to wear the lingerie, but I don't know what color he wanted me to do.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Yes.
That will not get me killed.
Let's do that.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's the best way to approach it.
Yeah,
okay,
that might actually get me killed.
No, she can't reach you. She's in Louisiana. She's a nice show laugh. What is it, Pat? What's the other one? What do you say? How should we do this?
Well, I wouldn't approach her about Rudy. Not that way.
Yeah.
Because it solves the conflict with them.
Okay, then what should we do with her then, to prank her? Because she's sharp. Because Rudy would not give her number. Rudy would not give her number.
I got it.
Good thinking. So
he won
the
publisher's clearinghouse.
Oh, really? Okay. That's a good one. Publisher clearinghouse. That's a good one. Okay. Let me see if I can get her phone number. She might be at home. Okay, let me see. Let's see.
I'll make up the name.
Okay, I'm going to put her number. Let's try her number here. Hold on, let's try this. Mm-hmm. Anything goes Friday. All right, here we go. Let me see. I don't think I have to put a number one. Do I put a one? No, let's try this. Hold on. Here we go. Okay, as soon as the phone answers, you take it. I'm going to mute me, and I'm going to mute Pat, but I can still hear you. I can come in at any time.
Okay. Yeah, because y'all will be laughing.
Publisher Clearinghouse. That's funny. 3-9-6-8-3. All right, here we go. We're calling Ellen, who used to be our executive producer for 6 years and everything. She's not too happy with me right now. This is going to be fun, so she's not going to expect this. All right, I'm going to call. I'm going to mute Pat. Here you go, Pat. I'm going to mute you, and
okay.
I'm going to mute myself, so if that phone rings, it's only you on the line, kiddo. Here we go.
All righty.
That is strange. Using the recorder. Maybe I'm putting the number in wrong, because that's strange. Let's try this again one more time. That's weird. Because I would have got the voicemail. Let's see this. Maybe I have to put a 1 in it. Let me try to put a 1 in to see what happens, because I'm just putting the number.
Okay.
Let me see.
Usually I don't have to put in the 1, but that's just me.
Yeah. Maybe this studio needs me to put the 1 in. Let me see. Because
well,
you know, 1-800.
She recognizes the number.
No, but her voicemail would have came on, though. And that's weird.
That's
I didn't
true.
Hear her voicemail.
Yeah.
Unless she's on the phone, but I doubt it. Her voicemail still would have kicked in.
All right, let's try this again.
Yeah. Okay, let's try. Okay, let's try this again. I'm going to mute us and everything and see if it works. Here we go. Calling
out. Okay.
Hello?
you reach Terry.
Maybe she doesn't see the number. She's not picking it up because she sees the number. So what we're going to do is call her home number. She rarely picks up that home phone number, but we're going to call her at home because that's a landline, and she can't tell who's calling. Let's try this again.
Okay. What's her last name?
What do you mean Johnson. You can't tell who's calling?
Johnson.
If
you're on a cell, your number will appear on your cell. But if you're on a landline, it will not appear on your landline.
Mine did.
Unless there's caller ID.
Really?
Mine used to show up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's try it.
Mine would. Back when my doctor, his receptionist used to actively ignore me when I called. Then I called from the store phone, and she picked up. And that was after I called 20 times.
Wow. All right, here we go. We're going to try to call her in her house, last one. And hopefully she would take her off guard, and she may pick up. She rarely picks up her home phone, but let's see if it does. Because she may be just looking at her phone going, I don't recognize this. Okay, so the one did work, though. The one number did work because her voicemail came on. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. Let's try this at home. She might pick up at home. Okay, here we go. Let's try this. We're going to do the same thing. I'm going to mute you, Pat. I'm going to put you here. I'm going to mute me, but I can still make the call. You're the only one live on the phone, Robin. And let's try this. Here we go.
Okay.
I guess the phone gods are not with us today. Hold on one second. Let me try now with Rudy with the
busy
one. Yeah, what's going on with her? 8, 9, 10. She might be at the store just opening up right now. Wait a minute. Let's call Walmart. I can't call.
Maybe you just picked the wrong time, Brian.
I'm thinking I did. But Rudy would usually pick up, even if he's at work. Let me try the one with the Rudy. I didn't try one before. Let's see if that works. And we can do the same thing with, let's just prank Rudy while we have it.
Johnson.
Dixon. Like, I wish I was in Dixie. Dixon. Rudy Dixon.
Okay.
Let me see if I got this. Let me see here. Rudy. Sometimes I put them under, I kind of start. Okay, here's Rudy. All right, let's put the one and see if it picks up. Here we go. Rudy. We're calling Rudy. It should pick up now because Rudy will pick up.
Yes, sir.
Hello, kitty. The kitty's up in the morning. Feed me. Feed me, mommy.
No, that's not what he wants.
What does he want?
He's just talking.
Oh, yes? This is my show, kitty. Get your own show. Yes. What do you mean you do it better than me, you sassy cat? Okay. 4007. Let me see. Okay. Let's try this.
Maybe.
All right. We're calling Rudy Dixon. We're going to try this again. Everybody's going to be mute it except for Robin. Let's see if it works.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
We got sent to the box.
Yeah, well, at least we know that work had to put the one in it. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we tried. There's three epic fails. That Ellen would not pick up because if I call, I don't know how, if I called you, Pat, what does it say on your phone? Does it say
it
Brian? Does it say Blog Talk? Or
it says Brian Jackson Show or Brian Amber Jackson Show.
Oh, no. That's what it says on the phone?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
no. And I bet she's got that programmed into her phone.
Oh, no.
I do.
That's what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my
yep.
God! Then I can't do. If I call businesses or something, do they see that? You think, or it just comes in as a business call? They see that? Then how can I prank people like that? Oh my God!
Well, I don't.
It depends on if they have
other people. Brian Jackson.
Yeah, it depends on if they have the number stored in their phone, which she probably does. Mm-hmm.
She does. So if I call somebody just randomly, they wouldn't see that number? They wouldn't see my name? It would just be a number, you think?
It
would just be a number.
They'd see the number.
Just
mm-hmm.
a number?
Okay,
let's see. Who else?
How is the phone registered, Brian? How do you have it registered?
Well, this is a landline, not my cell. I mean, this would be the studio's phone, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get Brian Hammer Jackson's show because I'm calling through the studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay, well, she might see that.
Probably have that programmed in, and that's probably why she got no answer and got sent to the box.
That little bit.
Programmed in with the word asshole attached.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you. Wow.
Oh, no, but, you know, you're trying to prank her in there.
Wow. Well, you know, one last thing. Now, David King gave me his new number. So that means he doesn't have the studio number program because he has a new number. This is a new number. That's Prank King. You know, King's been on this show, King Webb.
But he might recognize my voice, though.
I don't think – he would not be expecting it. I don't think so because I don't think so. And if he does, it would be funny, but I don't think so.
It will.
He knows you. That's why I have to mute you, Robin. I mean, Pat. His name, that's his stage name, is King Webb. His real name is David Portley, Jr.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to call
him. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Last one. Let's see if we can do this. We're calling King Webb and see if Robin can prompt. Now, Robin, say that you got pregnant and he may be the daddy. What do you think? He may be the daddy. That
and I make up a name.
Yeah, Shaniqua or something. I don't know. Okay. Here we go. I think he will pick up unless he's at work. Here we go. I'm going to mute everybody except for Robin.
Hello.
Hey. You remember me?
No.
Are you sure? Because I think... Who is this? It's Rainy. You don't remember me? Rainy. Rainy Parker. I think... You don't remember me?
Who are you looking for?
What? I'm looking for David Portley Jr.
He hung up.
You are good, Robin. You are good. Let me call him back. You are good.
I am the queen at messing with people.
Hello? Wait. No, he hasn't picked up yet. He's not picking up now. Oh, my God.
I messaged him after a while and doing pumpkin.
He wants nothing
your
to do with that.
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail.
Okay.
That's so funny.
You're good.
I'm scared and stupid.
Wow. Poor King.
I don't believe
that woman. Who is that crazy woman?
Well, Robin, what would you do? What would you do, Robin, if somebody called like that?
I would have talked to her. Hey, King probably, I would have talked to her going, yeah, baby.
Yeah, but he's just gone through a breakup. Like, the last thing he needs is a woman bugging him.
It's fine. Let me see. If there's anybody else, who can I? Well, that's me. The rest of the people. That's it. You did great.
He knows us now.
He's going to kill us. During the break, I will. Well, here he is, right? I'm going to message him.
I messaged him, but he hasn't been on Facebook for a few days.
Yeah, I'll put it in.
Honey,
just in case, that was Robin.
It's a garbage truck. we were just messing with him. I wasn't serious.
Oh, man, that was funny. And then I'll get a hold of that Walmart to see if I got the right one, to see if we can order some plants.
Funny is I can do it with a straight face. I'm able to get people so good.
You could. I was so impressed. I felt like I was eavesdropping on a Pornhub call. A live porn. Hello, remember me? You're going, yeah. He will appreciate the good joke, Pat. He will.
Stop carrying your baby.
Exactly, he would. All right, everybody. So that's how we roll. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna come back. And anything goes today. We're gonna talk about politics, relationships, UFO, magic, mediums, and well dones, psychics, and sex. Anything you want to talk about? Anything goes today. This is Friday, 319-527-6099. And Brian and Robin in the morning. You saw what Robin can do. Don't mess with her. We'll be right back.
In a one-night stand. I will only call you after if you say I can.
Do is wrong.
Get off.
23 positions in a one night stand.
Get off.
I'll only call you after if you say I can.
Get off.
Let a woman be a woman and a man be a man.
Get off.
If you want to, baby, here I am.
Here I am.
I got the jizz from a friend of yours named Vanessa Betts. She said you told her a fantasy that got her all. Something about a little box with a mirror and a phone inside. What she told me then got me so hot I knew that we could slide.
Get off.
23 positions in a one-night stand.
Get up.
I'll only call you after you just say I can.
Get up.
Here I am.
Here I am. Get up. 1, 2, 3, 9, little cutie, I ain't drinking. Go piss, I was just thinking. You trust me, what a ride. If you were thinking the same, we could continue outside. Lay your pretty body against the parking meter. Strip your dress down like I was stripping a pizza. Paul. I'm enjoy. Let me show you, baby, I'm a talented boy.
Everybody grab a body, pump it like you want somebody.
Get up. So here we are, I'm a paisley crib. What you want to eat?
Rib.
Toy, I don't serve ribs. You better be happy that dress is still on. I heard the rip when you sat down. Honey, them hips is gone, but that's alright, I clock them that way. Remind me of something James used to say. I like them fat. I like them proud. You gotta have a mother for me. Now move your big ass around this way so I can work on that zipper, baby. Tonight, you're a star. And I'm a big zipper. Dress that phone, I'm sipping far enough to keep the crackers down. Don't worry about the bus, I'm gonna lock up every door. Then we can do it in the kitchen, on the floor, in the bathroom, standing on the tub and holding on the rod. You're in the closet underneath the clothes and oh my god. And
yeah.
I'm a dresser with your feet in the drawers. In the pantry, I'm a chef, I guarantee you won't be bored. Food baby, yeah, move the stick. Put the 8-ball where it should have stick. But you do no wrong tonight, if nail just let him kick you.
Welcome to the show. We're doing crazy stuff. We're going to do one more prank. Let me see. Where's my Robin? Here we go.
I'm here.
Robin, this is this is a big one. This is a big one. Okay.
Okay. Hey, who is it?
She's going to kick my ass. We're going to prank my girlfriend.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Why don't you kill me?
She
oh,
will
God.
Kick my ass. Here's what you do. Tell her
me.
That. Tell her that you're from the front desk of the Aquarius Hotel, and you have reports at the Aquarius Hotel. Yeah, and you had this in Laughlin, Nevada, and you realize that 4 towels were taken from the hotel, and also because I lost the key, also the room key was taken.
Okay, what was it called again? Let me.
Aquarius. I was thinking
that, but I wasn't sure. Let's see. Let me grab
my
pen so I can write that down, and
she's going to kick my fucking ass. So, tell her 4 towels were missing. No, she won't. She'll kill me. Like when she's working like this, she doesn't want to be disturbed when she's working. You heard how irritable she gets if you disturb her. She's doing spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. So you're from the Aquarius Hotel, and you've realized four towels have been missing. The key to the hotel has been missing, so we're going to have to charge you an extra $450.
The key charge.
She's going to kill me. Okay, let me get it. I don't know if I want it. I swear to God, my life is in danger.
I just hope she doesn't kill me.
She won't. I can hear her in the other room, so I can hear the conversation. So let me put her number in here. Let me see. Oh, my God. She's gonna get mad. It's not a win-win because she has this thing. You do your thing, and I won't disturb you at work. I will do my thing, and you don't disturb me. That's the deal. She gets upset if I clued her in on my work. Because she says, I am not your show. I am your personal thing. And I don't like to be on the air. And so she gets that kind of thing. And if I put her on the air, she's going to get really mean. That's why she's mean at me. I'm going to make sure I'm mean to you. And I keep putting her on the air. So she's going to get really pissed at this.
I just don't want her mad at me.
No, she won't. I tell her I put up. Hold on. She's going to get pissed.
Did you put me up there? Yeah.
Oh, my God. If I go to the mute button, it's only because she's chasing me around with a knife, and I don't want you to hear me scream like a bitch. Let me see. Oh, this is I'm a little nervous about this one because this one's going to kill me. Let me see. She's going to be so pissed. Let me see. Let's see. Here we go. Oh, God, this is going to happen. Especially when she's disturbing her work. She's going to get mad. Did you steal those towels? You know, because I said, I'm going to take a couple. So I stole four towels, and I lost. And they're going to charge us for the key for the room because I lost that, too. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay. Jesus.
Oh, what about the thing is I got to ask for a name.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Just Cindy. Just say Cindy. Don't, you know, just say Cindy.
Okay.
If she asks for the, she'll know it's her. I won't use her last name. I'll kind of mute if her last name goes up.
I understand.
You know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shit, okay. Here we go. Fuck. Here we go.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes. Is this Cindy?
Yes, it is.
Well, my name is Nancy Butler from the Aquarius Hotel in Laughlin, Nevada, and I noticed there was some discrepancies on your bill.
In what way?
Four towels were missing and also a room key was not turned in.
Okay, there's no towels missing. They were put in the tub. Nothing was taken from the room. One of the room keys was mistakenly put into the suitcase, and I can mail that back to you.
Well, we are going to have to charge you a $450 fee. I'm so sorry for the
inconvenience. For what? For a plastic card that gets reissued every time?
I'm afraid so. It's hotel policy.
Then I'm going to need to speak to somebody else, and this is unbelievable.
Well, I am security. And I like to know.
Okay, I'm done with you.
Baby. You're not Mimi me. No, you are not.
I just hope she's not mad at me. Oh, that's so funny. Oh. Hello? Anybody there? Or is it just me? Anyway, I do apologize. It was all in good fun. There is no discrepancy on the room. On the room. Oh. But it's all in good fun. I do like to mess with people, but I don't do it as, you know, I don't do it to be mean. I always let them know that, you know, that's what I'm doing. And usually most everybody gets a laugh out of it. Not everybody, but most.
What? We can't do this. Wait a minute. No, you can't leave Robin. You can't leave. Wait a minute. Come here.
I told you. She's mad at me.
Come here. I told you were so pissed. I told you. Were you serious?
You had voices.
I had it because when you said, let me see the manager, poor Robin was in trouble. I had to come in.
I couldn't help it. I had to be so
Come here. Robin was worried. Come here. Say hello to Robin.
Robin should be worried.
Robin. Robin means Cindy. Say hello to Robin.
Oh, I would, but she wants to charge me $450 for missing health and a
You know what? I said, no, Robin, let's not do this. I said, no, Robin said, let's do it. Say hello to Robin.
It's like, I don't want her mad at me.
I've left you, Robin. I'm leaving him, and I've left you, too.
Wow.
Oh, buddy.
You were so well done, Robin.
Yes, she was mad.
Oh, my God.
I'd have an aneurysm if I didn't stop.
Does she know I'm fasting? Don't say that to him while he was fasting. I'm out of my damn mind. It was good, baby.
That was a good one.
Oh my God. I had to intervene because the next thing would have been cussing, like, you fucker, you. I go, because we're live on the air.
I'm going to talk to the manager. I started laughing because I could see it coming.
I know. Jesus, that was something. She came to that door. I am leaving you. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving Robin. I'm leaving everybody. Wow.
Oh, buddy. He's not
mad.
So how much trouble are you really in, Brian?
A lot. She goes, I should have known. She goes, I should have known because a New York number came up. But she goes, that could be the corporate office. No, she was laughing. She goes, she was laughing. She's so, yeah, she was laughing. She goes, that's what she Well, you got to meet Cindy Robin. Here you go. There you go. Yeah. That was funny. Okay, here's David. LOL, I needed that. You guys are something else. We love you, David. And he starts laughing. We love you, David. He knows that we did it with love. We need to cheer him up. We have never done it with the morning crew before. We have never punked the morning crew. Well, there you go.
Good. But I bet he thought it was insane. Who is this crazy woman?
I know. What? All right. She was kind of fun. Like, what do you think, Pat? Was that a good one?
Do I know her?
Exactly. What do you think, Pat? Was that a good one?
Yeah, it was. But I'm not a person that ever did that because, I don't know, I just didn't want it done to me.
I know, but it's all, if it's no harm, it's all in fun. And that's, David.
I know, it's fun. You know, like, some people aren't comfortable doing that, so
Yeah, none of us are. I hate it when it's done to me, but she was not expecting it. It was a perfect victim. Robin, was you're so freaking good. Wow.
I can catch up when people are messing with me, and I turn around and mess with them back.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I do.
That was, yes. Thank you so much. That was fun. You made my day. And that's how it grows with anything going
welcome.
Right here. Exactly.
You are most welcome.
And now, wow. Oh, my God.
I just hope that you don't get murdered in your sleep.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
Oh, I will. Oh, I will, and I expect it. She came out with her fist. She tried to kick me in the balls, but I moved really quickly. Woo, like the flash. They always, and I'm getting older, so my balls are hanging a little lower now, so it's more area to kick. But here we go.
Yeah, you're dead.
Well, we all needed to know that, Brian.
Thank you. It's more balls to love. More balls to love. Okay, here. So we're going to go, and we're going to go through the line. And Pat, did you think of something to talk about? Robin, did you think of something that you really want to talk about? And I'll tell you what I want to say. Or you need more time. Huh?
Yeah.
420
is a good topic. Yeah.
Oh, is it 420 tomorrow? Okay, you want to talk about 420?
Yeah, and it's also, guess what else it is?
What?
Hope Fest. And I'm going to try my best to get out there.
Oh, Hope Fest. Yes, we will talk about that. That's Robin's talk. Okay, good.
I'm going to try to get out there and meet everyone.
I hope you do. I hope you do.
Well,
Robin, you're pretty
good.
Thank you.
No. We got some time. Each one of us will talk about something we want to talk about. That's okay. And you want to talk about weed's a good. Actually.
Because.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But what do you want to talk
spell,
about?
Well, we're going to talk about each subject. How do you spell marijuana? M-A...
R...
Oh, I don't even know.
R-I-J-U-A-N-A...
I-J...
M-A-R-I... M-A-R-I-J-U-A-N-A.
Okay, let's see if it comes up. Okay, here we go. And when we come back, we're going to tell you the effects of marijuana and how weed affects your mind. This is a subject that...
No, I can
that,
tell you how it affects my body.
I can tell you how it affects mine, too. Whoa.
It helps with my pain and nausea.
I know. So everybody, when we come back, get on a cannabis. You get it? Cannabis. And I'm the driver.
Oh, yeah.
And... So when we come back, we're going to tell, I've been smoking for a while, and, you know, when they didn't know enough of this study, they didn't know enough study when I started smoking. They're still studying marijuana. So there's new studies every time. So this is, and tomorrow's 420. So we're going to come back, and we're going to tell you how marijuana can affect your mind. Is it permanent, or is it temporary, or is it just an innocent high? We're going to see how does marijuana affect your brain. The effects of marijuana, weed affects your body. Seizures, effect of marijuana use, how weed affects your mind, and can you get seizures on marijuana? All that good stuff. All that good stuff, we're going to give you the answer. And know the negative effects and risk of marijuana use. Wow. And it's 6 worst side effects of marijuana. Ooh, when we come back, we talk. And Mary Jane. Love that Mary Jane. Mary Jane. She's a good friend of mine. I like Mary Jane. I like Bud. Mary Jane's married to Bud. I like them. Mary Jane and Bud. What do you say about that, right? Okay, so that's what we're going to, and then we're going to talk about Hope Fest, which is close to my heart now. We're going to talk about that. It's going to raise money for homeless people and other people, and we'll talk about our guests for the last week and a half, how great they are, give them some recognition. And shout out to King. King's our morning crew, so if you're worried about King, he just gave me the message. He said it was funny. We got him. Ha-ha, he said he needed it. King knows we love him. Even though he may be mad at me, he's still a good sport. But I love him. King, I consider King my brother. I consider King my brother.
I know.
I know. He knows it's me. He knows it's me. He knows it's me. I know. He's a good sport. And then maybe we'll get into the lottery and see how much the lottery is up to today. What do you guys think? Because you guys missed playing, right? So we'll see about that. And anybody else who wants to come into the show, you have somebody to talk about how mean Robin was to call my girlfriend like that? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You were good. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done. Well done. You know, Pat, we're going to have you call her and give her a psychic reading. She will rub that wand up your ass. She would burn you. I'm burning her. Burn, Pat, burn.
I know.
3195. She likes you, but... If you prank her, she's going to come out. That she says she's leaving me and Robin. I didn't know she was even with Robin. I don't care. I'm leaving her.
I didn't either.
I didn't either. What?
She's like, yeah, a little pain in my ass.
Wow.
I'm getting rid of her.
I'm getting rid of her. I'm going to go after her. I know where she is. 319-527-6099. That's the number in the studio. I'm going to go kiss my girl's ass so I can live another day.
Not to kill me.
She won't. What a way to introduce you to her. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with marijuana talk. And can it really affect your brain? Yep. And we'll be right back. Thank you, Robin. You're the best. And thank you, Pat.
You.
And we'll be right back with that talk. Marijuana, 420 tomorrow, everybody. 420, bastards, you bitches. 420.
Come here, love. Do it, baby.
Shout out to that girl, Mary Jane, every man and every woman's lover. There you go. Mary Jane, baby. Mary Jane, as I call her, MJ. And here's the truth, you know, as Pat mentioned, 420 is tomorrow. And a lot of you guys don't know what 420 is. Liars, you know what 420 is. Well, how did they get, you know how they got the number 420 for marijuana, Pat or Robin? How did they get that number 420?
I've heard it, but I can't remember.
The bill,
it was what?
It was the number of the bill to pass it.
Oh.
The number of what?
The bill, like when it was,
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well,
I thought that was just like National Smokeout Day.
I thought it was a police code. I thought when the police came and, you know, they would sign out, we had the 420. I thought it was a police code, but it's not.
Yeah.
420 is not a police code for possession of marijuana. I always thought it was. It's a Senate bill. Refers.
Mm-hmm.
You get it? Refers. The California Senate bill, 420, refers to the use of medical marijuana, but the bill was named for the code, not the other way around. So the 420 police code, meaning for the police forces, is obstructing entry on public land, where there are some standards. Police codes differ from state to state. Police officers in Nevada use 420 to call in a homicide. We got a 420. I mean, somebody dead.
Mm-hmm.
So where did the code come from? Well, everyone and their mothers seem to know that 420 refers to cannabis smoking. The concept of the number as a code is long gone. The more hipster stoners, what is 420? Isn't it funny that we've been smoking it and nobody knows why they call it 420? And it says, the hipster stoner may be a little bit unclear to where the code came from and how exactly it connects to a bunch of Northern California high schoolers in 1971. Many a 420 origin story has circulated over many a past bong. And even a true one isn't fully known to the canna fans. It goes, what follows in a brief history of 420 is kind of weird. It's pretty weird coincidence. In 1936, a horror writer, H.P. Lovecraft. I like to have that name.
Oh, I love his work.
I want that name. I'm going to adopt that name. What do you think, Robin, Pat? This is Brian Lovecraft.
No.
Hello. Love, you call me Mr. Lovecraft. Hello. Or Mr. Black Magic. It says, H.P. Lovecraft wrote his first and only science fiction short story In the Walls of, E-R-Y-X. I don't even know what that means. E-R-Y-X. It was published. Oh, is it? Okay. Which was published after his death in Weird Tales in 1939. It was narrated by an explorer in a jungle planet of Venus who encounters a mirage plant with a shaggy stalk and a malted blossoms that gives off gaseous dream breeding thoughts. And it says the time, the narrator looks at his watch and is astonished to find that the time was only 4:20. And to experience the whole thing. Blah, blah, but it's not giving me that. Here's another one. 1967, a 19-year-old, it's always from California, a 19-year-old from San Jose, Gary Newman, he enlisted in the Coast Guard and was stationed at Point Reyes on the west coast of Marin County, north of San Francisco, at a property near a famous 100-year-old lighthouse. Newman and another Coast Guard member planted some cannabis seeds. That's 1967. I don't know how they got with 420, but nobody seems to know. Nobody seems to know. There's stories about it. 1972, a friend of Waldo's named Patty made a tie-dye 420 flag with a cannabis leaf in arts and craft class. See, nobody seems to know what 420 came from. Nobody seems to know.
No, like I said, it's like there's, you know, it goes back further than just the bill. So
I think so.
It's kind of like a myth, you know.
I know. Nobody seems to know the origin. Nobody seems to know the origin of 420. Let's try this. Try this one. Last one. 420, 4 hours and 20 seconds, or 4/20, meaning April 20th, pronounced 420. Mm-hmm. It's a cannabis culture slang for marijuana and hashish consumption. Especially smoking around the time 420. People seem to smoke weed around 420. It often refers to, or refers to, since we're talking about it, it refers to cannabis, the celebration that takes place annually April 20th and a U.S. and Canadian date. That's the only time the U.S. and Canadians love each other. 420, bastards. Hello, bitches.
Party. I've had, went to one that my a couple of friends of mine that they threw. Oh my! It was awesome. I was so messed up. I don't even know how I got home.
Wow!
I thought, well, I called somebody to get me, and I can't remember who it was. And then I went back the next day and got my car.
Oh Jesus!
I didn't call Ryan. I was like, oh,
wow.
Lord, I'll never be able to figure out how to tell them to get here because I had a hard time getting there, too.
Wow. Unbelievable.
We had
that,
a blast.
But, did you really?
It was me and a bunch of lesbians and Shane.
A bunch of lesbians. Wow.
It was. And Shane, he showed up.
I would like to be there with a bunch of lesbians. Can you imagine being, you know, it's like, you know, it's
they're
like I keep on saying.
They're not
yeah, they would be.
They
I have such an ego, they would
with
be.
Each other. They
I know,
but
all I have to do is pull down my pants and take a look at this, ladies. Oh, I'm in love with you, bro. Yeah, and look at my ass. Oh, what an amazing man ass. I'm in love with you. Good work.
A man.
Marijuana helps a part. Man ass. That, now, you know, you got some men who have women asses. You see those. You guys see the, you know, they swish a little bit. They're a little tight. They're little small asses. And you see, they have that hip swish when they walk. It's like, not attractive. Not attractive. Now, you give somebody with a big man ass, look at that junk in his trunk. Look at that. That's a whole lot of things. Because when he's on top of you, grab that man ass. It's like you're making dough. You're squeezing it and you're spanking.
If you can
have fun with that
it.
Ass.
If
yeah,
you can
raise
it.
Yeah,
if
try
you can
hit
reach
it with a belt.
That
yeah, you can reach it.
Sometimes
yeah.
You can't
a lot
reach
of
it.
Ass there. Yeah. Women
you got
love a lot of ass.
Short arms. Really short arms.
Exactly. Do you think women look at asses more than look at the fronts? You think they do?
Yep.
Probably,
if you got a guy coming, if a guy's coming towards you, are you looking at his package, or when he walks past you, you're looking at the ass? Which one are you more apt to check out with him not knowing it?
Ass. Yeah.
Ass.
Mostly
really?
Face.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm more of a face person than I am anything.
Wow. Look
at
that.
I'm a people watcher.
Really? Then I got to get rid of my cod piece. I got a big cod piece. Look at that guy.
Well, you,
I
know you
women
love
it.
Because you might
yeah, I would
need
keep
it.
That. Exactly.
If it's single.
Oh, Jesus.
You
well,
might need it tonight.
Well, here's the truth about marijuana, the myth and the facts about marijuana. Here we go. On March 31st, New York legalized their marijuana for recreation use, and becoming the 15th state in the nation to do so. Legalization is poised to take effect in Virginia and New Mexico later this year. Okay, fine. Today, marijuana is more potent, and I was telling you, today's marijuana is more potent than it was in previous generation. I'm telling you, shit is strong. The shit
is
strong now.
It's because of, you know, people know more about how to, you know, the agriculture part of it, the horticulture part, they know, and hydroponics.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're smarter.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That THC, I don't know. Why is it so important now? It's coming from the same wheat. It always, I mean, from the same seeds. It always makes me go, why is it? Who's putting shit in to make it stronger than it was before? I mean, marijuana, to me, is supposed to be an herb.
Brian,
and it's supposed to be done
Brian,
right.
They sprinkle coke in it. They sprinkle fentanyl in it. If
is
you're buying on the street, you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, that's why I don't buy stuff from, you know, No, because I don't want any.
I don't buy
any
from
kind
the street
of
either.
Nope.
Really?
No.
Well,
I don't.
Well, here we're going to talk about this guy. He's an old guy. A little bit, because you're tired of hearing my voice, so we're going to give you some facts here, because we have other stuff we're going to talk about. We're going to give you some facts about marijuana. The revolution of one, when I talk about marijuana, the ultimate disease, defeating drug. I don't know. The surprising story of miracle marijuana for epilepsy. I heard about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the guy. So he smoked marijuana, and so he changed his mind. So let's hear what this fool has to say. So he said, well, I changed my mind about medical cannabis. This guy's name is Hugh Hempel. Just a little bit of what he says. Let's see what he has to say.
Okay.
What goes through your mind when I tell you that my 11-year-old twins are using marijuana? Do you think to yourselves, oh my God, the drug problem in the U.S. is worse than I thought?
Mm-mm.
How is it possible that 11-year-olds get access to pot? Maybe some of you thought, geez, I wonder what medical condition these kids have. The truth of the matter is, most of us don't think about medicine when we hear the word marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I admit, I'm embarrassed to admit, that up until 2 years ago, I was completely misinformed about marijuana. And I think many of our population is today. I remember vividly in sixth grade being ushered into the auditorium to see a government-sponsored documentary about marijuana. It was the most scary thing I'd ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
People jumping off buildings, car crashes. It was mayhem. But not once was there a mention of the possibility that cannabis was useful as medicine. To be honest, in retrospect, I'm a little angry about the propaganda that our government is putting forth, even happening today. My big idea worth sharing is that medicinal cannabis can be the healthcare success story of our lifetimes, but only if we all engage in learning the truth and ask our federal government to end prohibition of cannabis.
Exactly.
I'd like to introduce you to my twins, Addison and Cassidy. Believe it or not, today's their birthday. 11 years ago today, only a mile from here, they were born and came into our lives. Happiest day of my life. I love the date, too. January 23rd, 2004. 1, 2, 3, 4. Unfortunately, Addie and Cassie suffer from a very rare genetic disorder called Niemann-Pick type C. This horrible disease is more commonly called, or what we call it, is childhood Alzheimer's. Their little brains are drowning in cholesterol. They're missing a protein that allows them to process cholesterol both in and out of their brain cells. The cause is neurodegeneration. They can no longer walk, and they can no longer talk. We were told that Addie and Cassie would be lucky to see their 12th birthday. After reeling with this devastating diagnosis, my wife and I dedicated ourselves to finding treatments for our twins in their lifetime. We gave up successful high-tech careers in Silicon Valley, and we became research philanthropists, raising money for research. And ultimately, we became biotechnology entrepreneurs developing a compound. The compound we found was cyclodextrin, and we found it with the help of an amazing group of scientists, researchers, and physicians from all over the world, including right here in Reno. Every week, the girls get an infusion. It's 8 hours long. It goes into their bloodstream, the cyclodextrin.
Damn.
Every other week, like yesterday, the girls go to the hospital, and they get a lumbar puncture in their spine in order to get the cyclodextrin to reach their brains directly. We think that the combination of those two routes of administration are slowing down the neurodegenerative progression and hopefully maybe even stopping it. Addy and Cassie were the first little pioneers to try this scary treatment. I can tell you as a parent, with no one in front of you paving the way, it truly is a scary moment.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, more than a couple dozen kids around the world, including a few at the NIH, are now engaged in further science and research on this experimental treatment. But the treatment doesn't seem to help with their seizures. As a result of the neurodegeneration, my kids have seizures almost daily.
Damn.
Oh.
A couple years ago, they were way more than daily. There were many a day.
Damn.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome.
We had... We started giving the kids traditional pharmaceutical medicines for their seizures. And they worked. Some of them worked, some of them didn't work. But the big problem was most seizure drugs cause your kids to become zombies. The whole purpose of the drugs is to essentially take away the stress or the triggers that cause seizures.
Mm-hmm.
We had heard about a father in California that it was treating a young son who was intractable seizures, seizing constantly all day long. And he was using cannabis medicine. We became interested. We contacted him. We learned more about the drug. Ultimately, we decided to pursue cannabis in earnest. Did you know that the cannabis plant was used in as early as 2900 BC in China as medicine? Did you know that we in America were using, in the 1800s, for a century, we were using cannabis to treat a number of afflictions?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in the early 1900s, as you all probably know, cannabis was prohibited and subsequently demonized and turned into a war.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. It truly is a shame. But we became convinced that the oil would work. So we set out to find a supply of oil. Certainly, cannabis has been legal in the great state of Nevada for almost a decade. Surely we could just go out and buy some oil and give it to our kids. Not true. There was no oil available in our great state. So we set out to do it ourselves. First, we got physician approval to do the treatment of cannabis, and then we became caregivers, licensed caregivers in the state of Nevada, which allows us to cultivate and make extractions, oils from the cannabis plant to give to our kids.
Wow.
When I was accepted to SGU, that was...
The commercial right here, we'll get through the commercial. Isn't that amazing? We can continue that. It's really amazing. We got so many people in the studio. Hold on. We're going to continue that. You guys find it amazing, don't you, Robin? Don't you, Pat?
Wow. I do. There's a lot of people that I would like to, for them to hear that.
Right.
Because, they're so down on it.
I know you do, Pat. Have a great day. She has to go, Robin. Have a great appointment,
okay.
Pat. You know
bye
we
bye.
Love you. Take it easy. And
bye.
Everybody's fine. Our joke did not harm anyone.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Bye, kiddo.
Yeah.
And I
bye.
Guess we're not going to do the lottery. Pat's gone. All right. See you later, kid.
Oh, okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. There's always
okay, there
always
goes Patty. Yeah, it's always Monday. There goes Pat. Okay, we got other people in the studio. 111, you're live on the air. And guess wait a minute. Hold on. David, King, are you mad at us, King? King?
Hey, what's going on, Brian? Robin?
How you doing, King? There's Robin.
I'm doing pretty good. I was sleeping a little bit earlier, and when my phone rang,
yeah.
I'm like, who the hell is calling me from New York?
you probably thought that is the crazy. Who is that crazy woman?
<I know. laughs>
Who's that lunatic claiming to be pregnant?
King. They did it. Robin did it to my girlfriend, King, live on the air, and she almost killed me.
He did it to my best friend, Shirley, last Friday night. Oh my God, that's what got it all started. It was too funny.
You know we love you, King. You know we love you.
He got cussed by a 71-year-old granny.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Welcome to the
show,
my friend.
Yeah, it's all in good fun. We just...
Yeah, it is.
That's how I do it. And like I said, I always, you know, I tell after, you know, after a while, I finally am like, okay, yeah, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
It was. We went. I was gonna, but she was nice. I was going to have her call. Say you kind of call him and say like, you know, you're going to be another daddy. She decided to go the other way. I go, King's going to come out there and kill you. But she did it the other way. Wow. Well, hold on 1 second. 111, you're live on the air. This is Brian here with Brian and special guest, musical guest, King, and co-host Robin in the morning. Robin Cox, 111. Is this Sarge? How you doing, Sarge? Good morning.
Well, let's see. When I tuned in to the show, the discussion was about whether or not men's mm-hmm. frontal displays or their going away flanks were more attractive. So I don't want to hijack the show or anything. You know, I just want to know: am I tuned into the degeneracy hour of the Brian Jackson show, or is there something else I might be able to bring up? I'm just curious.
So the whole show is a degenerate. You know, the whole show is no.
Well,
I
understand that, but sometimes it's less degenerate than others.
That's true. No, this is Friday. Anything goes Friday.
Yes,
anything that anybody wants to talk about. We played a practical joke on King this morning. King is our morning crew.
Oh, that's cute.
And
that's
King,
cute. That's cute.
Yeah, King did the right thing. Yeah. He hung up on us. He says, yeah, I'm not having this. So he hung up on us. And then we played a practical joke on my girlfriend. Robin did it. She should have got an Academy Award. She got her so pissed off that she tried to kick me in the balls, but I dodged it. Tried to maim me. It was really good because Robin called her and said that she was, you know, we stole the towels and I stole the key and from the hotel room. And Cindy got really
upset.
Yeah, she goes, what? Let me talk to the supervisor. At that point, I'm going,
it sounds like
good, clean fun. I mean, yeah, that sounds like, yeah. Sounds like a winner.
I just love doing that. I do that when I'm on vacation. I get people believing all kinds of stuff. And Shirley, she used to embarrass her, but now she got to where she just is right. She like acts right along with me. You know, she does it right along with me.
All right, well, now Brian, have you got a snapping towel somewhere handy too?
Oh, Mike, I'm telling you, Robin got her so good. She kept it. She goes, she comes out, I'm leaving you and I'm leaving Robin. I said, you know what, Robin? I'm leaving both of you. She was pissed. I said, I got candy and flowers.
She was getting angry.
She got angry. Oh, boy.
Angry.
Yeah.
She was like, wait, well. Not. Steal any towels. They did not steal any towels.
They were in the
bathroom.
Exactly. I am not stealing.
No.
You're lucky I didn't have your number, Sarge. I would have called.
I can mail that card back to you.
Exactly. Yeah. If I had Sarge's number, I would have had Robin call as Melania and talk to you and see what happens.
So,
but,
so I guess I better continue to call in on Skype then, huh?
I guess so. Yeah, to hide your number. No, yeah, you're right. But, you know, today, it's interesting today. And King's here. We very good King here. I know he's working double shift. I know it's late and everything. I want to thank you for coming. And King, thanks for being a good sport. Pat was really worried that you would be upset. I said, I put it in his Facebook that it was us. And Pat was really worried about you. I said, he's fine. I hope you're fine, right, King? I hope you're fine.
I hope so, too, because it was in good fun. It was,
I know.
It was not meant to be malicious or anything.
Exactly. Well, we know now that the number is a New York number. So, you know, if we make calls, they're going to think it's coming from New York. Who lives in New York? Oh, Donald Trump. Ooh, we can make a call to Mar-a-Lago. Let's make a call from Trump Towers.
Speaking of Donald Trump, that's what I wanted to ask you about or tell you about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something came up in the news today. Because I know how many people, and I'm not going to make any baseless accusations about people who might be on this show or anything like that. I wouldn't do a thing like that. But there are people out there, you know, they'll accuse Donald Trump of doing things that either they or their side regularly does. And I have a concrete example that I'd like to bring to your attention today that just came out in the news. You know what the Biden Justice Department is going to do? Because they're so concerned about threats to our democracy. Well, there's a civil rights chief. The head of the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice is a woman named Kristen Clark. She's an advocate of critical race theory and all the nice radical racial belief systems that the Democratic Party has come up with over the last couple of decades. And she released guidelines this week on how to prevent voter intimidation. She said, and I'm quoting, and I just love it because this is a party line now, quote, voter intimidation has no place in our democracy, unquote.
Right.
Now, years
right.
earlier, back in 2009, you might remember this because it was a pretty well-known case, she defended a couple of new Black Panther Party members who threatened Philadelphia poll workers while they were brandishing Philly clubs. She lobbied the Obama administration to drop a case against a member of the New Black Panther Party who were charged with intimidating voters and poll workers in Philadelphia. Now, they got the pictures of them holding the Billy Club. They had people who said they called Black poll workers working for the Republican Party race traitors and said they would be held to pay because of their party affiliation. So Clark, who was then a lawyer with the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, lobbied for the dismissal of the case against them. And then Clark dodged questions about her involvement with this during the 2021 Senate confirmation. She told lawmakers, people thought it was a weak case. And then the Bush administration filed a case against these new Black Panthers in January 2009, but the Obama administration dropped it after they were despite being accused of interfering in elections. Now, guess who went to jail for voter intimidation? Douglas Mackey, the guy who posted a meme on the internet, you know, telling Hillary Clinton voters the wrong date of the election as a joke. He went to jail for voter intimidation.
Can't understand you when you say
this is what the Biden administration prosecuted for. That's why I like to actually bring up facts, you know, because they just accused Donald Trump of being a threat to democracy. But the actual threat to democracy is the Biden administration, and they continually pose themselves as a threat to democracy while accusing everybody else of being a threat to democracy.
True.
They are taking all away civil liberties that they shouldn't have.
Exactly. Exactly.
They got away with it. They were out there with billy clubs threatening people coming in to vote if they didn't vote in the right racial manner. So you got a combination of voter intimidation and racial animus working hand in hand. And this woman who's your chief of the Civil Rights Division said it was a weak case.
I know.
So see, like I said, hypocrisy. Thy name, you know, the people who adopt positions like that, and then at the same time get in your face and tell you how bad you are because I don't even make a joke about being a dictator on day one.
Right.
We know what these people really are.
Well, it goes back to the philosophy. Don't hate the player, hate the game, baby. But wait, we got some breaking news for Robin.
Ooh.
This is good. And
okay.
I'm going to let someone tell you, ask you, Robin, since you're so good. Oh, my God, you're in demand. Wait a minute, just a second, because I have this talented rapper. Should be on the charts. Should be in the top 10. Wants to request something for you, from you, Robin. And here you go,
okay.
Mr. King. There's Robin.
Hey, Robin. Hey, I wanna prank call my ex.
Oh, we can do that.
All right.
We can do that.
Wow. What's the setup? What do you want her to do, King?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just kind of give me a little.
I don't know. Probably just. Oh no! I need a good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that she's? Let's see. Nothing regarding the kids. It would be something like. Recently, I know that they're not in a good thing. So let's just say. Should we say? This is the New York Correctional Facility. Do you know of a Kingway? Do we do that?
Yes. Well, now those calls
calling from the penitentiary.
Yes,
we have found out that he has escaped 3 years ago, and you should we do that, King? No.
He's been harboring a fugitive.
No, King goes, no, that's too close. That's a documentary. No, not good. Not good, King. All right, we won't do that. What should we do? We don't know your ex. That's why it's so hard. I don't know.
Yeah,
what is she like?
What
is she like to do? What's her favorite thing?
And what gets to her the most?
Yeah. Or do you want to do a mean one?
Yeah.
Should we repossess her car? Should we repossess her car?
No, because it's that one's paid off.
Oh, it paid off.
Okay. Oh, makes sense.
Do you want to? You want to get even?
Clearinghouse thing with her.
Oh, you wanted?
What?
I don't know if she would do that. Would she play a? Does she know what a publisher clearinghouse is, King? I don't know if she plays.
What?
The publisher's clearinghouse.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so.
Let's see.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, it only works if they know what it is.
Yeah, but you know, you got to remember at the end, we have to tell her it's a joke, and we have to tell her who played it on her, so be careful so she doesn't remember that.
Well, and she also might, you know, think you're wanting to get back with her.
Yeah, we might have to come back
yes,
to that one. Continue.
Well,
on.
Yeah, we'll come back to it.
Yeah,
we better think about it because remember at the end, you're going to have to say it was a joke. So she'll hear your voice and she'll know it's a joke because we can't let her think, you know, that's going on. So just remember you at the end, you're going to have to say, or we could say, hey, this is courtesy of King Webb. It was a joke. Something has to be, you know.
Once I start giggling, that's my cue to let them know, yes, this is a joke.
Let's see. What does she do for a living, King?
She basically helps, like, with the accounting and billing and stuff like that.
Okay.
Wow, that's cool.
Is she a stay-at-home mom, or does she is she on her job if we call her? Would she be at work, or would she be at home?
She would be at work.
She would be at work. Ooh,
not getting fired. Don't want to do that. Then you never get rid of her.
Reporting services and stuff for multi-unit businesses and stuff like that, you know.
Okay. So we could call in and say, we acquired your businesses and we made it. There was an accounting error. Would that be safe? We have an accounting error from one of the businesses. Something that she would. She's smart, but she would not expect it if she was at work.
An offshore account. there were some discrepancies in the accounting and an offshore account.
Okay, how about this? Let's say this.
I don't know.
We're calling.
I got it, Robin.
Robin, I got it. How about we call her and say, and her name is, what's her, just her, our first name or her last name, not together, just one or the other.
Yeah,
what would be the name that you give me?
Yeah.
Let's say it's a bomb threat in her building that would run out.
Oh, good God, no. Because she would call 911 and I would go to jail.
I know
we
would call 911. Well, we're calling from. That's true.
We would.
It was just a joke, Your Honor. It was just a joke. You're going to go to jail, son. It was just a joke.
Kids get juvie for doing that when they call in the school and do it. You know what they do to a bunch of adults?
Somebody's getting raped. It was just a joke. Yeah. We'll laugh about this, motherfucker.
Ow.
All right. We'll come back to King. We'll come back to King.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Me thinking of something that would be a good one.
Exactly. Now, so we're going to go back, and I agree with Sarge. And who's been in the news lately is on the same area of politics. We're going to go back to King, though. On the same area of politics, Marjorie Taylor Greene is acting a fool again. She's acting a fool.
That wasn't not from Alabama, was it?
Where is she from? Missouri?
Georgia. She's from Georgia.
She's from Georgia. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
She's acting. And here it is today. Here we go. Marjorie Taylor Greene from USA Today. And here's what's going on here. let me see if I have this. Hold on. And let's see if it... It's not playing. Wait a minute. This is quoting from USA Today, Marjorie Greene. The headline, Marjorie Taylor Greene of holding Congress hostage. That's the headline. Let's see the shenanigans.
Well, history might be getting ready to repeat itself. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a motion last month to remove Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House, but hasn't said when she'll force it to the floor for a vote. Instead, the Georgia Republican is calling it a, quote, warning to Johnson after he worked with Democrats on a bill to prevent a government shutdown. Now Johnson is said to be at risk of losing the speakership if he brings a vote on aid to Ukraine to the floor. If this happens, it would be up to Democrats to decide if they want to save the Louisiana Republican and avoid a congressional standstill for the second time in 6 months. Back in October, when a small Republican minority led the charge in kicking Kevin McCarthy out of the speakership, they created a snowball effect that led to McCarthy, who is one of the top fundraisers in Congress, announcing that he's not running for re-election. So who knows what consequences another battle for the speakership might cause. But if Johnson does get removed, who would even want this job and why? Well, some obvious Republican choices might be some of the same names that came up the last time this happened, including Steve Scalise, Jim Jordan, and Tom Emmer. As for why they might want the job, well, Speaker of the House has a lot of power. They're second in line to the presidency behind the vice president. They control who gets assigned to the most powerful House committees, and they have a huge influence over which bills or resolutions even make it to the floor for a vote. But with great power comes great responsibility. The Speaker of the House is one of the most scrutinized jobs on Capitol Hill, and these days the scrutiny is coming from both sides of the aisle.
There you go.
There you go. So, I don't know.
Okay.
What do you think about,
let me explain something.
About this, Marjorie? Go ahead.
Completely share Marjorie Taylor's disgust with Johnson, who I thought was going to be a fairly good guy. I mean, I didn't have any illusions about him, but I never thought that he would go along with things like renewing FISA and this open-ended Ukrainian aid and all this other stuff, and he'd go back on his assurances to the Freedom Caucus and others in the House that he wouldn't do certain things. But he's done it, and I share her disgust with him on that. However, there's a time and a place to do this sort of thing, and she is opening the possibility to a Hakeem Jeffries speakership.
Now, if you turn that damn thing, that damn House of Representatives over to Hakeem Jeffries, I guarantee bloody damn see you, the Democrats are going to have an amnesty bill before Joe Biden, before the year is out. That is an assurance. They will make, and it will pass the legislature so they can vote immediately. I can guarantee you they will. It is a certainty. And this sort of move she's making right now is all but sure to do with it. Now, look, I know we might say things like Hakeem Jeffries might ignore the border, dump billions of dollars in Ukraine, $9 billion on the Palestinians, pass Biden's dream budget, build the FBI new headquarters, reauthorize the crooked-ass FBI to conduct warrantless spying on American citizens. Oh, yeah, well, I know. Well, Johnson's done all that, too. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He will not give us an amnesty bill. In fact, he fought vigorously to prevent it from coming through. Hakeem Jeffries, that will be one of the first, if not the first item on his agenda if he gets the speakership. All it takes is one or two rogue rhinos to vote for Hakeem Jeffries and against Johnson. And all the Democrats always vote in lockstep. I mean, they are like goose-stepping, boot-licking fascists, marking and goose, and they vote the same way on everything. You can count on 100% of every Democrat. Now, Republicans are kind of like cats, and you can't always hurt them. But Democrats,
no,
you can count on their blocked vote every time.
They're kind of like sheep, actually.
That's what I'm saying. And Democrats always vote as a block. That means you can count on 100% of their votes, whatever the issue.
But the thing is, look at how many Republicans are so gung-ho on Trump that they would literally follow him all the way up Satan's asshole.
The reason is because we are aware of the spurious nature of the accusations against him. That's why we can read indictments. We know what the law is. I'm not even a lawyer. I can read an indictment and I know what the law is. I've seen it in action before. They don't use law like this ever. That's why we're following, because we don't like what they're doing. They are tyrants, and we don't want to give in to them.
Well, as I said, I know people, it wouldn't matter if he boiled babies alive. They
Boiled babies alive, I would fight to put him in jail. So that wouldn't go for me. He hasn't boiled babies alive. What he's done is to oppose this incipient fascist oligarchism from the Democrat Party. That's what he's done. When he gets around to boiling babies, look, get back to me. Right now, I like what he's doing in the main because he's a roadblock to this globalism they're trying to impose on us.
But what happens if he gets back in office and then all of this goes, takes the wrong turn? And all of
well,
these promises that he's going to do, he doesn't do. And ends up throwing us into World War III.
Well, he did one thing that he said he was going to do. People said that he didn't build a wall. Well, he built 517 new miles of wall. 517 new miles. The only thing that kept them from building the whole thing was the lawsuits that tied up the whole thing in court. They get lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. He got the Mexican government to spend millions of their own dollars to deploy their troops on the border to slow down the immigration flood into the United States. So he was remarkably successful, more successful than any president has been in the last few decades at slowing down the immigration. And we see now what Texas has done. You can literally slow it down to double digits a month if you just put up a fence and put troops there to keep them out. They're going to California now. They're going to Nevada now. They're going to New Mexico. They can't get through with Texas. The wall works.
No matter how big of a wall you build, they're going to find a way in.
Again, witness what is happening in Texas. That is not true. It is double digits coming into Texas now. The wall, barbed wire, just concertina wire, backed up by patrols and troops, is slowing the tide to double digits a month in Texas. They're not trying to get through to El Paso anymore. They're going to Nevada and New Mexico and Arizona. That's why more of them are dying in the desert. They can't get through easily in Texas anymore. It works. This is why these people are trying to tell us for years a wall won't work. It will. It is an obstacle. The basic defensive procedures are you don't count on any one thing to stop anything. You have a combination of barriers. They're working in concert with each other to protect a perimeter. You don't rely on a wall. You don't rely on wire. You don't rely on patrols. You don't rely on minefields. You rely on anything. All of it in conjunction works. And the wall is one of the most important things. But they like to pretend like, oh, the wall is all about the wall won't stop anything. Well, hell, I already know that. I know one thing. It'll slow them down. It'll canalize them. It'll make it easier for them to be caught if they have to breach something in order to get through. If you slow down your opponent, you can catch him before he gets through. He's got to take the time to breach the barrier. That's the whole point of a comprehensive defensive system.
That's true, but electric fences work just as well.
Remember the Border Patrol agents on the horses with their whips? Mm-hmm. They're whipping the poor Haitian immigrants, which is another lie. That's another thing. You have people on horseback. You have drones going overhead. You have the wall. You have patrols. You have sensors. It's not just the wall. The wall is probably the most single important thing along with the patrols, but
well,
it's not the only thing. And it's a symbol of resolve. It is a symbol of resolve, and that's at least as important.
Him promising to legalize marijuana federally was something in his campaign, but yeah, guess what? That never happened. Guess what?
Well,
I didn't get a stimulus check either, and I thought every man, woman, and child in America was supposed to get a stimulus check.
I don't ever recall Donald Trump making a campaign promise out of marijuana legalization. I don't ever remember him hearing him say that, ever.
Oh, I do. I do.
When did he make that assurance? That was never a hallmark of his campaign. He never promised it. He got it mixed up with somebody else.
He
definitely didn't make a hallmark of his campaign marijuana. I know that for a fact. Now, he might have been willing to let the states decide within their own states. But as a president of the United States, he's got to enforce federal law anyway. Under federal law, it's still a Schedule III drug, and so it's illegal federally. I mean, he ain't got a choice about whether or not he can enforce law. Illegal federally.
Well, it's harsh. No, he referenced it.
How did he referenced it. California get presidential pardons for being, out of and being released from jail for pot offenses?
Well, that commutation of sentences is not the same thing as advocating legalization when you commute a sentence.
Okay, hold on. Here's Donald Trump on marijuana. Hold on. This is coming from ABC 7 News. Here we go. Because I remember that too, Robin. Here we go. Here we go.
His administration, President Trump, is promising to support legislation protecting the marijuana industry in states like California that have legalized the drug. Colorado Senator Cory Gardner says the president made the pledge to him in a Wednesday night conversation. In January, Attorney General Jeff Sessions removed prohibitions that kept federal prosecutors from pursuing cases against people who were following pot laws in states that have legalized the drug.
There you go.
Okay, isn't that what I said? Didn't I say he would support state? I said he supported state action for marijuana.
And he did not go through with that pledge.
Right, he referenced it a couple of times for legalization and everything.
Well, I'll tell you what, given the threat to our economy, the threat to our energy independence, the threat to the border, as far as I'm concerned, as someone who wants used to smoke marijuana decades ago and enjoyed it when he did. I did. Mm. I liked it. I don't care. Mm. That's way down on my list of priorities. My priority is the border, energy independence, and the economy. And like I said, I already knew what his position on marijuana was, and it was acceptable to me. It wasn't a hill I was going to die on one way or the other. I don't think it is for most Americans right now.
Well,
I think what they're concerned about is the illegal alien invasion. They're concerned about the economy, and they're concerned about getting into foreign wars.
They don't care
well, on
about
that
what
note,
doesn't affect them, but it affects
that's true,
other
Robin.
People. Very,
that's
very
true, Robin.
As do many things.
In ways you
on that note, before we, that's true.
As do many
before
things.
Further
many
on
things
that,
affect. Don't.
That it.
But I'm saying
go
that,
back to this. Yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. We have to go back to the show. We only got 50 minutes left, and believe me, that goes fast. We're going to check back with King to see if he got the practical joke ready. So, King,
okay.
We're going to come back to you. What did you think? Anything? Anything comes to mind at this point?
No, I'm going to pass for now.
You're going to pass?
Okay, well,
if you, you know, I would think you're right.
Right.
I'm going to say, and I'm with him, and I'll tell you why I'm with King. It's a recent breakup. It's a recent breakup,
yeah, you don't want
and it could bring up it could open up wounds that maybe is healing at this point. Smart move, King. We will not do that.
Also make her
to
think
your,
he's interested in getting
right.
back with her too.
Yeah, that's true. That can lead to something. Now, if it was 5 years ago or 6 years in the future, okay. But if it's a recent thing, I'm more worried about King opening up little wounds that haven't healed yet.
Exactly.
But it was a good idea.
Yeah.
We know this is from, you know, let's make one last call to Shaniqua in New York.
Shaniqua?
Do you guys want to, see, it's fun when we could call somebody we know because we have the insight, but it's hard to do a practical joke with somebody you don't know. But I always have fun calling a beauty shop. The beauty shops are really fun to me.
I got good questions for them.
But you know what we're going to do? Me and Robin are going to pretend to be married, and we're looking for a marriage counselor to help us with our troubles.
Okay.
We're looking for a marriage counselor. Robin's having a hard time because I'm a transgender male wanting to be a female, and we need counseling.
Oh, good.
So you're coming out. You're coming out for us now.
I am coming out, baby. I'm coming out.
Oh, cool.
See if we can.
Okay.
See if we get a New York therapist. Let me see if we can find one. And this will be the last one. Then we'll talk about. We'll finish the story about that guy with the two kids. That's interesting. You know, poor dude.
Yeah,
you think
that
you
was.
Have problems?
That really was.
Yeah, that was kind
of. And that how much it, and it helped. Yeah, it helps those children. I mean, that impacts them on a daily basis. So,
I know. It, you think you have problems, man. Imagine having twins that have these rare diseases and they're having seizures every day, man.
Their brain is deteriorating and they are not expected to live for much longer.
I know.
It's horrible.
I know. Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, sometimes I look at my problems and going, damn. Then I hear everybody else's problem. Ding! Then I hear somebody else's problem. Damn! So it can help like that. I can't find, here he is, helpline, youth counseling. We need help. Your mental health resources. Yeah. No. Let's see. Mental health.
Can't do a hotline.
I'm trying
that
to find.
That would be too
many. Let me see. Psychiatry and behavior health. Nah. All right. It wouldn't work because we have to get through the office and everything. If there was a hotline for marriage divorce.
We'd have to coordinate the lines and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then we're going to give that. I'm going to do marriage counseling helpline. If there's a helpline, then that might work. It'll keep them on the line. I'm going to see if there is such a thing. Nope, there's no marriage hotline. There's no 911 helpline. Let me see. Best hotline? No. Then we all that. So that wouldn't work. Okay. Let's go back to that story because people are listening. We only got five more minutes of it. And Sarge, I hear you. And Robin, I hear you too with the politics thing. And but I'm kind of curious about this story. Here we go. So this guy,
too.
So when
I
you
really
think you're feeling.
That.
Yeah. So when you think you have problems, check out this dude.
Yeah.
Why I changed my mind about medical cannabis.
You
hit
him. The girls get a little oil like what you see here. This oil is extracted from a very special cannabis plant that's high in cannabidiol, or CBD, as
CBD.
We
call it. CBD. Cannabidiol.
Unfortunately, this oil by itself doesn't even completely, for our children, stop their seizures. So we still use a small amount of pharmaceutical medicine, but we use less. We've reduced the number of drugs the kids take, and we reduce the amount of dose from the few drugs we do give them. And consequently, our kids are not only having fewer seizures and shorter seizures, they're also bright-eyed and happy children again. They're no longer little zombies. This was great progress, but I thought to myself, holy cow, there are 2 million epilepsy or seizure disorder sufferers in the United States. Who's going to help those folks, those kids, those adults with these disorders? And at that moment, we decided to take what we had learned for our children and turn it into a commercial business here in the state of Nevada, which was just preparing to allow that to happen. And as Kylie mentioned, we've endeavored to do so and are now licensed to grow, extract, and sell, dispense cannabis here in Nevada, the state of Nevada. Someday the federal government will end prohibition. But how many lives will be lost potentially or severely affected in the meantime? How many kids with seizures like mine will move their families, will uproot from their homes to move to Colorado or Nevada to get these medicines? How many cancer patients will be denied access to inexpensive and effective medicine to treat the side effects like pain and nausea that come with chemotherapy?
And people in chronic pain, too.
There is a groundswell of folks like me who understand the potential of cannabis, and I'm grateful for that. The ironic thing is some of my family and friends, including most particularly my own mother, are still not convinced. My mother is worried that the free access to cannabis is actually a threat to society and that perhaps the medicinal value doesn't outweigh that threat. And she sees the medicinal value in her grandchildren. The problem, I think, is that really we just don't have enough hard evidence yet to convince the skeptics. There just isn't enough science and research to back the foundation that the medicine's working, the medicine's effective, that it's useful for large populations of people.
Well, there you go. You basically get the answer.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about research. There you go.
It's changed those people's lives. But then again, you know, there are some people that no matter what you tell them, they're still going to, you know, ostracize it, and they're still going to be like, well, it's bad for everybody, and I don't care if you suffer or not. I don't want it, you know.
Right.
I don't want it legal, and
right.
and that's the only thing that matters is what I want, and that's
yeah.
the reason why we're in the shape we're in, as far as taking all of our civil liberties
true.
Away.
Well, here's the problem with much of the discussion as I see it. Look, marijuana is a drug. Many medicines for treatment of various ailments are also drugs. So as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to medical efficacy, the only question for me is whether or not a particular drug has any value in treating a medical problem. The problem with this discussion is not medical efficacy. It is cultural, ideological, and political. Not objectively
true.
What the drug is capable or not capable of accomplishing to assist an individual with a medical problem. It boils into policy, and that's the problem with it. See, now the people, many of the advocates for it say it's going to cure all of mankind's sins if we let everybody walk around in a marijuana-induced haze. On the other hand, the people who quite rightly want to say, hey, this has medical value. It can treat diseases. It can make people's life easier. We should allow it for those purposes. The problem is you can't get a combination of the two. You got to get an ideological discussion about it. And I just want to have a discussion of what are the implications of this, honestly, to both legalize it as a recreational drug and as a medicine to help people who need help.
Well, what do you think about the doctors cutting people off of their pain medications because addicts can't control themselves?
I'm against any action that deprives someone of a medically efficient treatment. Now, you know, we do have rules about these sort of things because we don't want to let untested drugs be used on people without FDA. You know, that's what the FDA is for. I don't like the FDA. I don't like the FDA, but we got the FDA, whether we like the FDA or not, and they got approval. So just saying something help somebody is oftentimes a violation of existing law and procedure. Remember, I don't like the FDA, but they got to approve a lot of this stuff.
Or the medical board. I mean, those people have no business in individual medical care. That should be between a doctor and a patient, and pharmacies should carry all medications and not have one thing to say about filling a prescription unless they question its authenticity.
I agree.
And you can tell whether or not one's forged.
Well, if we could have a discussion truly about whether or not a drug helps something. Look, if a drug helps a medical condition, it should be allowed, period, end of story, and nothing more to discuss. This issue is just caught up with a whole lot of other things, and it hasn't got anything to do with whether or not it helps anybody. And by the way, we do have to factor in this, too. This is another thing we just cannot ignore. The kind of reefer I was toking decades ago is nothing like the quality of the reefer today. Its THC content is so wildly over what that was. We cannot ignore the studies of psychotic induction caused by heavy use of marijuana. They cannot be ignored either. We can't pretend like it doesn't matter.
And right there, then, that also goes back to self-control.
We're going to move on. That sounds good.
If you use it for medical reasons and not just get stupefied every day or all day every day, you're not going to have psychosis. I've been smoking for over 20 years. I've never been psychotic once.
That's true. And you're beautiful. You got a beautiful mind. We got to move on because I want to text you. We're going to get back to that. You know, there's musicians. There's stuff happening in the musician world. P. Diddy, Drake. And I still have no idea what is happening with Fox. What the hell is going on with Jamie Foxx? Right. Well, let me give you a little bit of hip-hop news. Apparently, Drake is having something. You guys know who I'm talking about, right? Drake, the Canadian rapper. You know who I'm talking about?
No, I didn't know.
Now, Drake took himself off the tour, music tour, for about, at least a year. He has some kind of shit going on with him that I don't know. I think it's cancer, but it hasn't really been out. But it's strange what he did. He's not making any albums. He took himself off the tour. He says he has to deal with health issues. I don't know. Now, apparently,
an addiction problem.
I don't know. But apparently, the P. Diddy thing went to Drake. And 50 Cent. Now, P. Diddy thing is rocking the music world. Now, here's Kesha. You guys remember Kesha? Or Kesha? You remember Kesha? Anybody?
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Kesha? King, you remember Kesha, right? Kesha or Kesha? Well, anyway, she's a singer.
Uh-huh.
And she says her updates on TikTok, she says her TikTok lyrics to F. P. Diddy during surprise Coachella duet with Renee. Both singers defiantly raised their middle fingers when singing a new lyric rap song. They raised their middle fingers that set out the music festival on Sunday. This is Coachella. The party at Coachella didn't start until Kesha walked in. I guess this is it. Here's the story. Listen to this. Here it is in entertainment world. Oh, they're going to do the music. They're going to do the music. Wait a minute. Damn it. Now I have to read it. Here's what apparently happened. The singer wasn't on the lineup. We're talking about Kesha. This is in Coachella. But she stole the show when she appeared as a surprise guest during Renee Rapp's set on Sunday. And she debuted her new lyrics to the hit song, TikTok. You'll hear the song. You remember the song. After Rapp welcomed her to the stage by calling her the hottest person on earth, Kesha began singing the first line, wake up in the morning. But then she said Rapp held her middle finger up as they revealed the new lyric like, F. P. Diddy. Now, I don't like this at all. The crowd gathered at the outdoor theater stage cheered as they realized that the powerful statement the two women were making in the wake of Sean Diddy Combs' properties being raided as part of an ongoing sex trafficking investigation by federal authorities, as well as the lawsuits and allegations against him. After their defiant moment, Kesha and Rapp finished the duet and hugged before Kesha left the stage and said, fuck P. Diddy. I don't like it. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Yeah, I'm going to tell you why. And I hate the cowards. King's with me. King's in, he's going to be a resident professional.
Okay.
He knows more about rap than I know. He knows what's going on. I got to get King. I hope he's still on the line because I'm going to ask him some questions. King, are you there?
Yeah.
He's doing
I'm
things
right here.
Okay. King, do you know who Kesha is or Kesha is? I think you do. Do you know it?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to hear a little bit of her song. You guys are going to know who she is. Just a little bit of it so you know who she is. And I'm going to ask King some questions because we used to do entertainment section, and we don't do it anymore. I got King, the expert here, who's in the field. Here's a little bit of her song, Kesha's song.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hey, what up, girl?
Grab my glasses, I'm out the door. I'm gonna hit this city. Before I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle.
The first voice is, I wake up in the morning feeling
I
like P. Diddy.
Oh,
yeah, I know
that
it's hard. Her song. Let me get the lyrics. But I just wanted you to know now. This song came out, 14 years ago? But all of a sudden, she liked P. Diddy, didn't she? Oh, because she, I'll give you the lyrics. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the TikTok lyrics. I wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. Hey, what up, girl? Grab my glasses. I'm out the door. I'm going to hit the city. Let's go. Before I leave, I brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack, because when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking pedicures on my toes, trying on all clothes, boys blowing up our phone. You know what makes I? You know, sometimes these lyrics are so stupid. Boys blowing up our phones, drop topping, playing our favorite CDs, pulling up to party, trying to get a little bit tipsy. God, the lyrics
to me,
are maddening.
That's not art. That is garbage.
It is garbage. Here's how it sounds for 5 seconds.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hey, what up, girl?
Grab my glasses, I'm out the door. I'm gonna hit this city. Before I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking back here on our toes, trying on all our clothes. Boys blowing up our phones. Drop top and playing our favorite CDs. Pulling up to the party.
Sounds like something clean is looking good.
There you go. That's a little
that
bit of
it. Sounds like
it was a hit.
Like 12-year-olds would listen to.
I know.
It really does.
I know, no talent at all. She disappeared. She had some problems with her publishing company, and King has a problem with his publishing company, so you know how that goes. Now, King, what I don't like about this is all of a sudden, I know a lot of people don't like P. Diddy, and maybe a lot of people were afraid of P. Diddy because of the power that he had in the industry, so they kept their mouths shut. And then all of a sudden they found that somebody came forward and they have somebody backing them. But here's what I don't like, King, and talk to me. I don't know how you feel about P. Diddy, and I'm going to ask you, and you can tell me the reason why you feel that way. But I don't like people piling on somebody. If you didn't talk 10 years ago, and you didn't talk 5 years ago, if you didn't talk when it happened, F you, you little cowards.
Yeah.
Right, and you're in this industry. And you know damn well you've been doing bad. And you're doing this crap, and you're trying to take a guy down, and you're making songs about him. I don't like it, King. I don't like the snitches in the industry. I don't like people like 50 Cent. I don't like people like you hear now them say, but you did it. Yeah, he did it. 50 Cent, man, what's wrong with you? You've been shot like 25 times. You're in the hood.
Well,
you don't
yeah.
snitch. You don't say shit. But all of a sudden you're going to say shit. What makes you become a bitch? That's my feeling, King. Talk to me. Defend it. Because I'm listening.
Unless they were there and witnessed something or was told something. They didn't. No, they don't know. Nobody does.
Exactly. Okay, King, talk to me. What do you say? Now, am I wrong feeling this way, or do I just not understand the power that this dude has and it's time for him to get his comeuppance? Or am I right to say, you know what, you're a rapper, man. You know, we've been in jail, we've done some shit. You know, shut up. Don't quit. Bitches get stitches. Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it, King? What do you think? I'm hearing all these people powering
well,
Diddy.
I never really liked it, P. Diddy. I follow him throughout my whole life, you know. I mean, he's always done something, and it just never really got the attention that you know, even when Tupac was shot, so P. Diddy's name was brought up, you know. Even when he was with J Lo, and even that shooting that happened, you know, his name just kept being brought up a lot, you know, and so I never really cared. And I always felt if he hadn't been if Notorious B.I.G. wasn't with him, he would be alive today, you know. And but I never really cared for Diddy, you know, and a lot of the stuff that I've been reading about and about, you know, I wanna pray and say I pray that it's not true, but you just never know.
That's true. Like I said, people, you know, you can't say you know when you weren't there and you didn't, you know, and nobody told you anything. You know, just because you hear a rumor, people think you're automatically guilty. And which I will say this, you know, he has gotten to be notorious for doing bad things, not good things, bad things. And
I mean,
that's infamy. That's not fame. That's infamy. And, you know, a lot of people get that confused with fame. They think, okay, as long as I'm getting press, whether it's good or bad, I'm doing good.
Right.
But, you know, they don't care whether it's a good press or bad press, you know, just as long as they're being talked about and nothing, you know, everybody loves to talk.
I guess it sounds like a lot of people don't like Diddy, man. It sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Diddy says
really.
It's pissed. Something must have happened.
But then
Diddy
too,
says,
you know.
Yeah.
But then too, I can agree with you, Brian, because you know, just because Diddy is out there doing something. As a black community, as a music industry, as a whole world,
right.
We shouldn't be downgrading it either. Like it's not good. You know what I mean? Like if anything, we should not support him in the bad things that he did, but be by his side. You know what I'm saying? And let him know, look, we can't, but we don't tolerate what you've done. You know what I'm saying? But downgrading him and all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as a black community, we will never get ahead in life because we always got, you know, and it's bad.
I agree with both of you guys. You know, I agree. There's some problems. I'm moving along, and we're going to finish it. There's some problems, but we're talking about Drake. Drake is a Canadian musician.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him a rapper. I would call him more of an R&B artist. Would you say, King,
well, that
or
girl,
R&B than rap?
One song you played by that girl, that was not music. That was just noise. and she came up with the stupidest lyrics she could find. I mean, it's like, okay, I could come up with that sitting there for five minutes, you know. I could just come up with something like that right off the top of my head. There's no craft to it, no artistic talent to it. I mean, it's like,
right.
She kind of acts like she's proud of a slut or a hoe or something.
Yeah, it sounded like she was really high. But here's another one. I'm just going to move it really fast. Tell me what you guys think of this. This goes back into music world. Here we go. Everybody, do you guys know who Bobby Brown is? Do you know who Bobby Brown's daughter is? Anybody?
I know who Bobby Brown is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Bobby Brown has a daughter. I forgot her name. King, you know, because you're hooked up into that kind of thing. Well, here we go. So now, see, when the artist turns against each other and they turn it into this, now the artists are turning against each other. It used to be you get the lyrics and go, I'm coming up on you, I'm going to roll up on you, I'm going to do this, I got your bitch, I slept with your bitch. We used to have those songs. Now they're telling on each other, and I don't like it. This is coming from the hip-hop news.
Well,
now
they're beginning to get this take no prisoners attitude, you know. Everybody's out trying to be number one.
Yeah, but they're telling on each other like a bunch of bitches. Well, here it is. It's like Drake is a singer. It goes, over the last several years, there have been sections of the Internet that believe Drake, again, a Canadian R&B singer, could be primary young female stars in an explicit way. The rumors began in 2018 when a 14-year-old Stranger Things actress Millie Brown, Bobby Brown. Now, Millie Bobby Brown, is she related to Bobby Brown? King, Millie Bobby Brown.
No. I'm not sure.
No?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
What did it happen?
She's 14 years old, and they're accusing Drake of sex texting her. They said, things actress Millie Bobby Brown admitted she and Drake sent I miss you texts to each other. She's 14 years old. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a little inappropriate.
And here's what she's 14. No. And here's what she has to say about Drake.
Tell me about your friendship. How did this all come about?
I love him. I met him in Australia, and he's honestly so fantastic and a great friend and a great role model. You know, we just text each other the other day, and he was like, I miss you so much. I was like, I miss you more. He's coming to Atlanta, so I'm definitely gonna go and see him. I'm so excited. Yeah.
You and Drake. That's awesome.
What advice does he give you? Like, what does he say?
About boys. He helps me.
What?
Yeah. He's great. He's wonderful. I love him.
What's his advice for boys?
You know, that stays in the text messages.
This is like princess vibe.
Thank you.
Right now.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you heard her voice, Steve. But
yeah,
it doesn't
sound
like he's priming or sexing her. Exactly.
No, it sounds like
we're getting to a point. Exactly. We're getting to the point that if any rapper or somebody talks to somebody young, it's all about sexing and priming an artist. You know, so that was the headline. Oh, Drake sexing 14-year-old girl. It wasn't about that at all.
She even said it wasn't.
Exactly. And, King, do you see where this is going? I mean, they're just trying to get shit going on with each other, you know?
Mudslinging.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick Lamar is in on this. If you're not into R&B and everything, you wouldn't know these names.
I don't.
Drake mentions that they're doing extortion. The bark with a bite. Nigga, what's up? I know your picture on my wall. When y'all cook up, Drake raps. extortion, baby, whole career you've been shook up because Top told you drop and give me 50 like some push-ups, huh? Well, see, this is how it used to be, right? Right, King? Now, there's some smack. What happened to Nicki Minaj? Did you see Nicki Minaj? Oh, my God. She gained, the girl gained so much weight. Chris Brown, Nicki
Minaj.
Right, she looks like, what's that girl, Lito or Lelo or whatever. She looks fat. And I'm not talking P-H-A-T. We're talking F-A-T-T-T-T.
That
is a whole lot of
that. That's a thing now. I mean, I'm not kidding. Men are going for the bigger women now.
They are.
Instead of the six like me.
Six like you. No, trust me, you're still.
Yes, I'm a six.
Put you
I'm
next
a
to
six.
You put you next to some diabetic woman. You know, everybody has a little weight on them, but maybe, you know, it's a man's choice. I like
and
a little. I like women with
I'm
a little bit of.
Six.
Yeah, you look good though. You look good. You know, if I was
thank
a female,
you.
I, you and I would be twins. You look good. You look good. yeah. Hello. I was going to transcend. Now, let's get back to you because I'm skipping all around. So we talked about marijuana and the use. I haven't found anything bad about the drug. But I'm going to tell you, fools, if you guys like smoking cigars, and I know my brother does. You know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He'll laugh if he knows who I'm talking about. I know my brother likes to smoke the cigars. And we need to laugh. Okay. And let me tell you something. Scientists have proved this. Smoking one cigar is the same as smoking a whole pack of cigarettes. Check
it
out.
I don't doubt that because they are hard.
That's what they said.
Because
when I wanted to stop. Exactly, Robin. Because when I wanted to stop smoking, I said, I'll switch to cigars. And I'm checking. They say one cigar. And you see all these athletes do it, man. After a championship game, after a celebration, we'll lit up a cigar, right? We'll brag about it and everything. I saw my brother do it. I'm not outing my king out there. I'm going to keep him anonymous. My brother likes to get that king cigar up there. But I'm just telling you.
My friend Mel, he swapped from cigarettes to cigars, and then
right.
He ended up quitting the cigars.
Exactly. I'm just saying, if you guys think that smoking cigars are safer than smoking cigarettes, smoking one, just one cigar, is like smoking a whole pack of cigarettes. Just remember that.
You
know what I'm saying?
I just
recently
stopped, too. You know, I just recently
did
stopped.
You really? Good.
Yeah, Monday.
Good.
I tried to make Monday my last day, and so far I've been doing pretty good, you know. And you know, the thing is, it's a mind thing, you know. If you tell yourself you're going to smoke, you know, if you want to be mad about something, it's a mind thing and how you control your mind.
It is.
You know, and your brain.
It is.
Well, I applaud you because I'm not strong enough to quit smoking just yet. I kind of don't want to.
Yeah, you know,
I'm about to turn 40, and I don't want to smoke after 40, but you know what? I like my cigarettes. I'm sad to say.
Not going
to
take that cigarette.
I'm a nicotine addict. I will say that. Nicotine and caffeine.
I would not want to be around Robin when she quit smoking cigarettes. I'm getting the fuck out of Alabama. Mm. I'm getting the fuck out of Alabama when Robin does that in the first week. I'm out.
I was about to say, you want to get the hell out of Dodge if Robin
doesn't do it. I stopped before when I was living in Phoenix, and I only got to about 3.5 months, you know, and so.
Really?
So I believe I can do it. I'm saying I know I can do it again, and it's really how I can do it because
well,
I'm really tired of it too. You know what I mean? I got tired of it.
I'm getting the same way. Every time I'm tired of getting clean and washing my hair and then smelling like I rub my head in an ashtray after going out and smoking.
You like to smoke a little cigar, don't you, Robin, in your days? You a little puff puff?
I like a little backwoods. Yeah. Those little backwoods you get in a pouch.
I get
a like
backwoods. You're puffing away. Wow. I you know, it's funny. I thought it was a good thing I was younger. I would say 25, 30. And I go, okay, let's light up a cigar. We're in production, and we're there. Hey, yeah, come on, Brian. Okay, we live in production. We're smoking a cigar. I was with my friend. We're smoking a cigar, and it was a fat cigar. All of a sudden, he started twirling that cigar in his mouth. He goes, you got to get it all wet and everything. I go, what? And he started twirling that cigar in his mouth. I go, ooh, you look like a homosexual. Hey, you know what? I quit.
Yeah, I mean, people will sit there and, like, gnaw on them, too. I'm like, how can you do that? Ugh.
I know. You know, I do like a good cigar, though. I'm going to tell King. I'm not here to blast you or anything. I'm saying, I feel you, brother, because I once in a while, I want to pull out my big Puff Daddy stogie and puff on that. And we're running out of time so much, and I want to go back to this, and I want to ask everybody the question, because when I was in Arizona, King, I just got back from Arizona. I just got back today. I was in Bullhead, Arizona for a while, and went to Kingman. Okay. I thought about you. I just got back. I stayed in Nevada.
All right.
But I was thinking of you. I was saying, damn, I wish King lived close by. Damn. So I'm going to ask King a question because I'm not leaving. And first of all, let's all applaud Sarge for being patient and not blowing up the studio and everything. He's sitting being patient and letting us talk our shit. But
and not
so that
screaming.
Makes me want to...
That's the only thing that gets me is screaming. It gives me a headache.
But I do want to bring it back to him. Because he's been waiting so patiently, and I do, and I want to ask you guys the question seriously. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said when I was in the hotel room, we lost our shame. I know who's that. None of us are saying, "Oh my God, this is so shameful that our ex president is in court
mm-hmm.
right now, criminal charges." None of
shameful.
Us are thinking shame. We're not thinking that. There's only two sides that we're thinking of: lock the motherfucker up.
Or
y'all trying to get
office.
Him. Y'all trying to get him, and he keeps dodging y'all, and you can't do anything because you won't have nothing on him. But here's the question I'm going to ask. Does it make you guys, whether you like Donald Trump or you don't like Donald Trump, does it make you cringe that he's going after the judge and his daughter and everything and like a bully? Or would you have more respect for him to go, you know what, I'm innocent, I'm going to prove this is nonsense? Because the trial is about really a low-level federal charge. It's a low-level, but he's making it so much, he went after a couple of jurors the other day.
Like jury tampering.
He went after them. He called one juror
sleazebag. No, wait a minute.
He called one juror sleazebag.
Don't give fat
Alvin Bragg any ideas. He'll try to make a federal case out of that too, over which he has no jurisdiction. Remember, the Department of Justice looked at this, and so did the Federal Elections Commission. Both of them said there was no there. So he assumed jurisdiction over a crime that he has no jurisdiction over. This is unprecedented. You know, and so is Donald Trump's remarks there in temperament for a former president. Yes, I acknowledge that. But given the fact they have taken the gloves off and they are not playing by the Marquis of Queensbury rules, believe me, I am nowhere near as disturbed by it as I might have been once upon a time. None of this has ever happened before in this manner.
You're not disturbed that they're afraid to keep the jury anonymous because Trump's going to go after them and call them sleazebags and leer at them and all that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you
one thing that has
happened in almost every major criminal trial where there's a public controversy. They felt the need to sequester a jury. So this is nothing new.
You wouldn't think that they would sequester them because they're afraid they're going to get, you know, attacked by the former president.
I can guarantee you that given the nature of these charges, if Donald Trump didn't say a word, there would be his rabid partisans, and yes, I know they're out there, his rabid partisans would be violating the law by issuing threats against the jurors, just like Merrick Garland's Department of Justice ignored the threats against Justice Kavanaugh and the picketing outside his house in violation of federal law. So please, I don't, you know,
well,
look, I'm none of this is right. It shouldn't have been allowed with Justice Kavanaugh. You know, threats against jurors should not be allowed either. The rule of law demands that this be addressed. Telling you, these Democrats have set the stage to allow this. Let's not pretend they haven't.
Well, look at it this
not
way.
Not just
he
the
would
Democrats.
Be,
it's
be
all
a,
of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of Republican there, too. Sorry, don't you think it's Democrats? There's
no, what
a
the,
lot
I didn't
of
wait,
Republicans.
Hear what I just said. What did I just say? I just said there are rabid supporters of Donald Trump, whether they're Republicans or not. It's not all of them are Republicans. And they are the ones who would do this, too. They're out there. All of them are wrong. But I'm saying it is the authorities who have the greatest obligation to crack down on it, whomever it happens against, and they've been ruthlessly partisan in determining who they're going to prosecute for this sort of thing, and you and I both know it.
Well,
they set the example for it, and it wasn't a good example.
Okay. Well, here's what one juror said. Donald Trump isn't as orange in person, according to the juror who was dismissed from the president trial. He looked less orange, definitely like more yellowish. He doesn't look angry. I think he looks bored, like he wants to finish and go do his stuff. That's what the juror said. How he looked, she said that she was dismissed from the case because she couldn't be impartial. That's
exactly.
Why she was gone.
That's what I told you.
They're
selecting the jury for his supporters.
Exactly.
Is what they're doing.
Well,
exactly.
I'm gonna tell you something, Brian. Look, if they called me for jury duty on this case, and they questioned me about it, I'd be under oath and I'd be honor bound to tell the truth, and I would. I'd say I have read the indictment. I have read the law. I think this case is a legal travesty. I'm already reached a conclusion on it, and I cannot vote for anything but innocence unless you present some new evidence that I'm not aware of that I doubt you will.
Right.
I tell the truth.
Well,
and then they kick me off the jury, and I'd be perfectly happy with myself for telling the truth.
Well, you know, then I would think that's the wrong move, because then I would want you, if you think that you could be inside, think you could be more important that you got on the jury, that you're listening to the evidence, and then you're in there that you could convince other people who might otherwise vote for the guilty, you cause more benefit to be on a jury than not be on the jury.
Yeah, but you're supposed to tell the truth when you're under oath. You're supposed to tell the truth.
I
would tell the truth about my
evidence.
Now, if they put me on the jury after that, that's on them.
Yeah. Right. I would tell the truth. I heard good things, but I'm open. You know, they don't expect you not to know. I would say, yeah. It's a, do you, are you partial? Are you MAGA? No, I'm not MAGA. Are you Trumper? No. You know, I like some of his policies. Could you be impartial? Yes, I could.
Brian, I've read hundreds of indictments over the years. I've read thousands and thousands of statutes. None of this fits. None of this. And some of the best legal minds in the country, Alan Dershowitz, Jonathan Turley.
Right.
I go on to explain in detail why this case is legally so utterly absurd. I mean, it's just a Frankenstein monster of grotesqueness. It's like patched together pieces of decomposing legal corpses. It's crazy.
But this,
he doesn't even have jurisdiction over these laws.
This is what happens when you have enemies from within,
exactly.
Whether they're Democrats, whether they're Republicans. If you make enough enemies, and we all know how the job, and even your job as a police
they're
officer, your job as a musician, your job, they will. If you make enough enemies in your field, guess what? You're on the firing line, and any job that you have, you know this. He made too many. He made powerful enemies. Sometimes we can make enemies, and they mean nothing. Like Willy on the sidewalk right now. I made an enemy of Willie Willie. He's the homeless person. Every time I walk by there, he has a side eye, and I know that he's drinking out of the bag. I don't know what he's going to pull out of that bag. Every time I walk by him, he's giving me that dirty look. You know, he's a homeless person.
Yep.
He's like, oh, you want some of this, Willie? Come on, Willie. Let's do it now. Let's dance. And Willie goes,
yeah.
Boo,
yep.
You crazy. I should be teasing Willie.
Well, see,
but
Brian,
that
is what those of us who are against this thing have been saying.
Yeah.
We've been saying essentially what you've been saying, that this isn't about the law. It's about the man they want to get. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. That's what Latvia Beria of the KGB and the NKVD said about his political opponents in the Soviet Union. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime.
But,
you see, Donald Trump, he's threatening democracy.
Yeah.
We're going to find something to put him in jail for.
Okay.
It's that simple.
That's why we're objecting to it. I agree with you, but I'm saying his mistake was he made enemies out of powerful people.
So in other words, you rocked the boat. I thought we liked guys
and
who rocked the boat.
Dangerous, too. That's why they want to
not our boat. We
dangerous.
Only like the guys who rock our boat, not their boat. See, Trump, you see what I'm trying to say. When you rock
our
shit.
Most definitely. I definitely see what you're trying to say, and that's what we're objecting to. That's exactly
what
we don't like show trials, especially when it's so clear it's a show trial.
It makes a lot of money. But you know what, Sarge? Don't think that Donald Trump is not making millions off of this. And you know in your heart he is making millions off of this show trial.
And he should.
Because people are
I hope he makes lemonade out of this lemon. He deserves to make lemonade out of this lemon. This is completely unwarranted.
People who really need that money are the ones that need the money, not him.
Right, right. We'll see if people want to
I don't know why it is that you had Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and Joe Biden at a fundraiser with the biggest money people in the world. All of a sudden, the Democratic Party is in bed with the biggest capitalists on record. All this bleeding about the people and the big money interests and everything else, and they're deep in bed in an orgy with these people.
Well, you know what? It costs money. It costs money.
You know what?
I
guarantee you, Donald Trump does not have as many big money donors as the rat do.
Okay. Well,
right now. Right now, under existing, most of these big money donors are all in for the rats.
Mm. Well, you know what? I'd rather be a rat and eat some good cheese than a mouse that's in a trap. Whatever
yes,
that means.
But please don't get
what I'm trying to say.
Spare me the sanctimony, okay?
Okay,
I understand
the
need for money. And
right.
I have never been against people having money or making money honestly. I've never been against it.
I understand.
But those out there who are opposed to people like me are the ones who tell us about the evil influence of money in political campaigns.
That's true. Yes, Robin.
But marketing the Bible under your own name and making a profit off that's sacrilege. That is sacrilege.
No, sorry, that's a little much. I think
that is another thing that the people who don't want Donald Trump to be in can add to their list of things to oppose him over. Be my guest.
Okay.
Just don't try to put him in jail over it. That's all. Just don't try to put him in jail. You can have any number of reasons to oppose Donald Trump.
I guarantee you that King Webb is a great musician, and I have some of his songs. If I marketed his song in my book, Exposed, by Robin and Brian Hammer Jackson, and I took the lyrics of his songs, and I said, you can go in there and get King Webb's lyrics off of our book, and you'll love it, because I interviewed him one time. King will sue my ass. He goes, I love you, Brian, but I got to see you in court. But I'll see you, brother, and after court, after I sue your ass, let's go have coffee. I'll buy because you won't have any money, and it would be it would be that you just don't plays a race.
Sometimes there are stories of lowlifes who are lowlifes. I mean, they're opportunists, lowlifes, and grifters. And I'm not saying that's true of Donald Trump, but there was a guy named Oscar Schindler. Remember Oscar Schindler of Schindler? The Nazi contractor. Oscar Schindler was like that. He was an opportunist, a con man, a low-life grifter and everything, a political opportunist who glommed onto the Nazi Party to make a lot of money. And guess what? He saved thousands of people's lives.
Yes, he did. Yes,
so
he
I'm
did.
Just saying,
well,
I'm not saying Donald Trump is. I'm not saying Donald Trump is anywhere near like that because he isn't.
Right.
I think he's essentially a decent man,
but
he's got his flaws. He's got his flaws, and who doesn't?
Yeah.
Here's what I'm concerned about. Are his flaws in the service of making the situation for the United States better, like energy independence, like a better economy, like a good standing and being respected abroad? A guy doesn't even know that Haifa is a town in Israel, and he tells the Israelis to be good, easy on their own city.
Well,
you're
going to
be in a laughing stock.
I got 5 minutes. Robin,
I mean,
know,
how much more of a laughing stock can you be than that?
Something happens, he doesn't like
I want
it. He's going to throw a damn fit about it, and everybody's got to hear.
True. We got 4 minutes.
And I get tired of looking at his puffed up face every time he gets pissed off when he scrunches his face.
Well,
lips up like an asterisk.
I got to do something that's very dear to Robin's heart. I got 4 minutes. I want to thank all the artists on Hope Fest for coming through the studio. Hope Fest is tomorrow, everyone. If you're hearing my voice and you're in Alabama, Mississippi, towns around Alabama, I want to give a shout-out to Mr. P. I want to give a shout-out to Stevenson, Trent Stevenson, Aaron. I mean, my God, the artist is just so much. But they're doing so good. Hope Fest, everybody. Contact Robin or it's in Alabama. Support it.
You think Columbia, Alabama? At the,
I just want to thank you for it. Harley-Davidson dealership. This Hope Fest, everybody, support it. And help, and proceeds help the homeless and other charities for a good cause, and some of the best country western singers I've ever heard. And motivation speakers. Don't forget my motivation speaker, brother. I want to thank Mr. Key. Pete Key, everybody, man. One of the best motivation speakers I ever ran across. And I thought Sarge was a good motivation speaker. Wait till you get to – can you imagine Pete and Sarge on the same show? Oh, my God. That would blow up.
I would have a whole bottle of aspirin.
It would be nuclear, man. It would be nuclear. I love the brother,
too.
And I want to thank
– for sure.
It would blow up this dude.
Well,
it's
always entertaining, Brian. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
my friend.
It's always festive when you're around.
When we're together here. It's festive and gay.
Well, you know what? We lose the lottery, but we're still friends. And I blame you losers.
Exactly.
But thank you for playing. I want to thank Robin, of course, she's the name of the show, Brian and Robin in the Morning, The Hammer and the Rose. How's that?
That's the title of today's show.
Thank you, sweetheart. And I also want to thank, of course, King, my brother from another mother. He's been my brother from another mother for, God, years, maybe 6 years, 7 years. Thank you for your friendship, King. Happy belated birthday again. I'm so sorry. I didn't know when it happened. And I'm glad we didn't play that trick on your ex, because I don't want your wounds to open up a little bit. But, I mean,
I want her to come back.
We should have called my ex, that low-down, dirty whore. We should have called her and say, you know what? I'm having Brian's baby, and I love it, and he's such a great lover. I should have called my ex. Thank you, Robin, for that. Thank you, Laverne and Bernie. Exactly. Thank you, Robin. We're going to do a lot of chaos. Trust me, with your humor, my humor, I love it. Thank you, Laverne. Bertie, she's listening right now. I love her. That's my sister. That's a queen. Love her from Virginia. Thank you, Laverne, for listening and being there. I thank all you guys. And, of course, Pat somewhere else. The show has been renewed ever since Robin came back. And watch for the music show. I'm serious. I keep thinking about it in the car today. I mean, in the car yesterday, how I'm going to do it. I'm setting it up. We're going to blow. Last time we blew it up, man, we blew up the music show. So many people called in, pulled over because they liked the music. We're going to do it again. And, I mean, maybe even over this weekend. I'm going to get to work right after this show. How's that? I owe my brother King. I've been owing my brother King for a while, and we're going to have some fun. All right, everybody, love me because I don't love myself. I need to love. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. That is Robin. That is Sarge. That is the King of all kings. King. Web, everybody. Don't get tangled in his web. He'll cut you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you Monday. We'll see everybody Monday. Yeah. Bye, everybody. Have a good weekend. Be safe out there. And give those kids a hug from me, King. You give my little adopted kids a hug from me. And you guys still believe, and I'll be around Monday. Bye, everybody.